There is one other participant in the conference. Please announce yourself.
Rahul Bhatt, this is Anukis.
Rahul Bhatt, how are you, sir?
How are you, Akir?
Perfectly. I'm kicking. I ain't kicking that high, but I'm still kicking. How about you?
I'm pretty good. I'm trying to make an order. I'll be selling dinners, and I've got a couple late-night customers. I don't know why they don't come in the daytime, but I guess they... And I'm trying to...
Your full name is what now?
Anukis Sent Amun Tech.
Oh, Anukis Sent. Okay. Is that S-E-N-T?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with this phone. I can't hear it regular. I can't hear it on the speaker. And the other thing ain't plugged up. I mean, it's plugged up, but it ain't finished charging. So I got to put it upside my head so I can hear the crash until I get done making these plates.
How many plates you say you got to make?
I'm making a fish platter and a chicken leg.
Rahul Bhatt fam, right?
Rahul
Glad everybody's together. Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me get this recorded.
Yeah, he wants a whole lot of macaroni and cheese. Now I got to put some more in here. And I hate to say no, because it's been slow all day. I'm trying to accumulate a couple dollars around here. Right,
I don't know why I love you, but I do. I don't know why I love you, but I do. I don't know why I love you, but I do.
I know I love you only. I don't know why I love you, but I do. Oh, now let's see. We're going to be left for like 4 minutes.
Rahul Bhatt.
Rahul Bhatt.
Rahul Bhatt.
Rahul Bhatt, love it.
Oh, man. Thank you.
Bella.
All right, I finally got to come on now. But I...
Rahubash.
Hey, Rahubash.
Rahubash, everyone.
How you doing, Uncle?
Okay.
Hey, Rahubash there. I care. I'm still working with this.
Rahubash.
Hey, Rahubash. All right. Okay, Galante Jones Jr., you here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, who is that first spiritual experience they'd like to share with us? I'd like to say good evening to you all. And I ran to get to y'all. I'm talking about in the dark, carrying heavy bags. Go ahead.
I'm going to go on mute for a little bit. I'm trying to make a couple chatties.
I love you. That's really considerate of the class. Okay. Who is that first spiritual experience they'd like to share, if any? Okay, Farasa, I'd like you to share what you said later on when a few more people get in here. I think you'll find that there may be others. Okay, who has that first question? And we're going to need our Bibles and tablets and Injils tonight, too. Need somebody to leap if they have an open void with that first question.
I have one.
Okay, good to hear your vibration too, Goddess. Go ahead.
I wanted to go back to the video that you sent about this false individual, this bogus guy.
About the what now? What individual?
This bogus guy.
The
fake guy. Now,
right.
I do a lot of research on stuff, and long story short,
yes.
I was looking at the young elder.
Yes.
And some of the content that he had on his stuff. But in my mind, I was also thinking about, I had heard this guy that I thought was associated with the Nwapi Nation, woo-woo-woo. And
they're all students of York.
Okay, but I was not, okay, and I listened to this man's content, heard what he said. He had said what his so-called real name was, woo-woo-woo. But, I always wondered
what
happened
to
this individual. Wait a minute.
We're talking about young elder now, not.
Not the young elder. No, I'm not talking
about
him.
The white, bald head, cute.
Yes.
With the female guy name.
Yes, this guy.
The little devil, yeah.
Yes, I can't hear it. For whatever reason, they blocking his name. But his whatever. So anyway, I had heard him before with something else in the past. And I always wondered what happened to him, but I didn't associate the
Please
two.
Please enter your PIN.
So,
we're in the past because he just did 18 years.
If you know your PIN, please enter pound or hash.
Please turn that off, y'all. He just did 18 years in the penitentiary.
Okay, see, that must have been why, because like I said, like I said, this was like maybe a year or two ago, and like I said, I was still, getting the feel of everything and trying to get myself together.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You talking about out there, yeah.
Yeah,
no hair
so,
lamb's
you know,
wool, no eyes many fire, no hair of a lamb's wool, no eyes many fire, no feet shown from others, robes the color of fine brass if they had been burned in a furnace. And Acts, it tells you that Mary and Jesus were niggers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And what's so crazy is, this individual, like I said, Mark Brady is his name. Mark Brady is supposed to be his real name.
That
anyway,
sounds just like the Brady.
Because I'm like, I really thought he was black or anything. But anyway, to fast forward, so like I said, I didn't associate anything, and I had just recently started listening to the young elder over the course of the last couple months because I had got something that I thought was still part of Dr. York's stuff, which it was.
It is Dr. York. Real quick.
Okay.
Then you'll be able to notice this if you pay attention to him good. He'll start talking real ignorant like he really is. He's a country ignorant nigga. And then all of a sudden he'll start talking, like he's making sense and all that. He's reading. He's reading from stuff that Dr. York wrote. Got it for him.
Yeah, because he even...
See, let me settle it inside your mind so you can understand it clear.
He's not the Messiah. Neither is the none of them. But see, the thing is this. They're all students of York. Remember that. Now, then you have to think to yourself, why is he doing that, right? But anyway, they're all students of York. But York will tell you himself, he's not the Messiah. Never will be. He can't fit in the shoes of Jesus. Listen to God in darkness. He'll tell you he can never fit in the shoes of Jesus. He was merely sent here to prepare y'all for the arrival of Jesus, like always. He's the angel Melchizedek when he's in his right mind. You follow what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But and nothing can rise above its source. So you ain't got to worry about the students of York being the Messiah if he's not. Believe me.
No, that wasn't my question, really. I mean, my issue was, the young elder has some really informative stuff that I felt as far as, like, what he was teaching as far as, like, the mathematical aspect of stuff and the, what else was he doing? Like, some of the stuff that, some of the other content that he does on, like,
other
entities
and stuff. Yeah, we
got to
address it as we go
stuff.
Through, you see. Like when he was saying his grandfather was on an air base in Louisiana. I was born in New Orleans myself. But the thing is, he was saying that it got there in Mach speed, from I think Dallas to the Air Force base in Louisiana somewhere. And he said that because sound travels, because Mach speed is like 300-something miles an hour, you got cars that can almost do that. See what I mean? So what it is a lot of people don't understand the math, and they just accept it. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
But it sounds impressive, but when he moosin, only time he makes any sense is when he's reading directly from Malachi. Other than that, he just sounds like a country bumpkin.
No, but
he can't pronounce words right. He can't, yeah.
But see, like I said, I don't even care about him because, like I said, I was doing research on the young elder. And my whole thing is what I wanted to know from you is, because, like I said, I do a lot of research, but I just say it was just so crazy how when I was listening to him, some of this stuff and how he was talking about, I personally got a letter from blah, 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 blah. I wasn't even trying to listen to this. But like I said, I try to go here.
I'm talking about young elder. See, if you listen to him good, this is what I need you to listen with the retaining ear.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'll send you one of his classes where he's saying, he's telling you that the disagreeable, cherubim and then agreeable seraphat. And he says, I'm disagreeable myself. He said, and a disagreeable one's evil. He said, and I'm disagreeable too. Well, that's not a Freudian slip. Because I'm not going to slip and tell y'all I'm evil because it's not even
in me. Exactly.
You're not going to slip and say that.
Yes.
You see, I've been called a lot of things in my life, but evil is not one of them, or the devil.
Right.
You see what I mean? Ain't nobody see, if you're not evil or the devil, ain't nobody going to call you that. People know if they're evil inside. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He ain't making a mistake. And see, I've been to the throne. I know, Anu, and I know those beings. And he's talking about his crown has got so many diamonds on it. The brilliance is so bright, that's why you can't look at him. It's so bright. That nigga's a damn fool. He's got the one I really saw on the throne is jet black, real thin, and I drew a picture of him when I came back. He sits in a high back throne and he got a Sumerian crown on, right? A Sumerian crown. Now I'm gonna tell you why. And antiquity, that these beings, like when Moses asked, Thutmose III asked that god that they had at that time, please, may I see you? And he said, no. But he said, I'm going to enter in, I'll back into the cleft of the rock, and behind the back of the rock there. He told Moses, he said, you go up there and back into the cleft of the rock there, like a split in the rock, like a little alley or something in the rock. He said, you back into the rock. And he said, you can, I'll pass by, because they always wear this little cloak on there, like a zigzag pack. You know what I mean? They always do, because they ugly reptiles. I'm a lady cat, ugly water beak. And he said, as I walk by you, you can step out and watch my hinder parts as I walk. And look in the Bible. Somebody look up Moses, sees God as he sees his, watches his hinder parts as he walks by. He used keywords like cleft in the rock, you know what I mean? Somebody look it up. Yeah. See, I saw Malachi. Malachi, I'll tell you all, those that have been around and close enough to him, those that have, when he says, if y'all really saw me in my true form, what would you do?
Yeah, you would be scared or something.
Like that, right? You would run. You would run. Now, I've seen him in his true form, and he's not, and he's put, and that's mild. That's mild.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a sister that was in Officer Dr. Thompson as part of, you know, he was like a one of my little buddies hanging around me all the time. And I went to see him one time, and the sister was in that, we was talking, and she was saying, Malachi was in another city, a state or something. And I called him up, you know, because she was a disagreeable too, but she was close to him, like, or whatever, you know, as close as you can get. But she said, it just hit me. I wanted to see. I asked him, because he kept saying that. She said, I called him up last week, and I see him in his true form. And he told her to come on. And when she got to the place where he was at, she went and knocked on the door, and he told her to come on in. And she said, yeah. She didn't run, but she wanted to. Yeah. She said, now that is ugly. I said, I understand. I saw it. I saw it.
But you know, this explains a lot.
It does? Well.
Yeah, because honestly, I apologize because I didn't mean to cut you off, but I have noticed that I start getting, I don't know, like I said, you know, when I get stuff and they tell me stuff, I listen to it. But I was getting further and further away from all of that, but now everything is coming into clarity for myself.
But it's
as
your time.
To why they were pushing me away from that whole scenario right there.
Yeah,
that's,
see, that's
why
part of
your,
you always heard him say things like, y'all can't handle the truth, you see?
Yeah.
But you never qualified that. Your mind should have been saying, why you keep saying that, brother? What you mean? Okay. You're supposed to, it's your job to tell us the truth. We can't handle it.
Uh-huh.
And by the time you figure it out, it'll be too late. It'll be checkmate. That sounds like some kind of ominous threat to me. And when y'all come up through that tunnel after you die, you're gonna see me and Seal standing side by side, Sheriff Seal standing side by side to greet you. Now, when he got locked up, and it wasn't too long, he had got locked up. He had a trial in Millersville right here at the courthouse. And, you know, I was like over in the lobby. And so, and I had businesses. So I got on the radio station, and the brothers and sisters let me put, just like I put out a call when they raided Tamarate for everybody, every concerned citizen to circumambulate, you know, Tamarate because of the Waco type move going down. I saw the body bag trucks and all. They wouldn't. Anyway, I got all the Nawabians to come there. I got over 4,000 or 5,000 Nawabians to come down to that courthouse in Millersville. And I went up there on the second floor, and I saw Rochelle there and Nifu and them and all that. And Rochelle walked her dumb ass up talking about, they would call me Akhenaten. I know you're going to let me go in first. I said, no. No. Go sit down at Toon Ray. Anyway, so I walked in the courtroom, and I was the only one in there. It was empty, right?
Oh.
And so instead of me getting a seat, you know, the little swinging gate they got that separates the people from the judge and the prosecutor and the defendant and all that, you know, inside. They got a little rail there. I went right to that swinging little wooden door, that little swinging gate right there, and I was just stuck right there, frozen. And I don't know why. I lost time. But then all of a sudden, I was standing at the back door, and the back door busted open wide. It was Malachi. He came walking through with a dark blue suit. Y'all see him in the newspaper with that, with Kathy sitting in the back row, and Joaquin was right there. He busted with that dark blue suit on, and his eyes was locked on mine when he came through the door. And he walked straight up to me. He was handcuffed, but there wasn't nobody with him, no sheriff or nobody. Now, you tell me how that's happening. He was by himself, and he walked straight up to me. He walked right in front of me. He stood right on the other side of the gate and looked straight up into my eyes. And he was staring into my eyes, and he was doing his teeth like that with his veins going in his forehead like that. Let me tell you something, Della. When I was looking into his eyes, they was jet black. No white, no secular, no nothing, no pupil. And it wasn't like grays that be black like patent leather, shine and nothing.
Uh-huh.
It was two black holes, like I was looking into empty space, black space. Never saw that before. I was looking straight, and I have seen a lot of things. Been a lot of places. I was standing straight into not, what I want y'all to do. You say you do research. Look up black-eyed children on YouTube or black-eyed people.
Oh, I already know. I'm aware now. I see them.
Okay, yeah, you don't see them. Yeah, well, don't ever let them in your house. I can tell you that. And them little kids, little boys and girls, ma'am, please, we got to use your bathroom. Can we have a drink of water? Would you just let us in? And then when you say no, they'd be, all right, bitch, we'll kick you. Then they come on out, you see. But anyway, I was staring down into them black holes right there, and he didn't even say nothing. He was just chewing. He was just grinding his teeth real hard, you know. And then all of a sudden, it's like I heard a lot of noise and all that, and I looked around the whole courthouse with the judge. Everybody was there, and then he was escorted to sit down. And everybody, I turned around to get a seat, and all them young niggas, all the seats was full. And they were just talking. I was like, what happened? Where was I? What happened right then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had on a gray suit. I was so messed up, I walked down straight down the rail, and I put my back to the wall, and I was sweating, and I just slid down and was sitting on my butt on the floor on the carpet. I swear to God, that's how messed up I was. And I just kept standing at the side of his temple. He kept gritting and grinding and standing straight ahead. So I was thinking, now what the hell was that? I done seen a lot of stuff, right? So anyway, then came time for the recess. And Dr. Kimbrough and Dr. Bright, gynecologist and internal medicine, they two little partners of mine, and they were sitting there, and Dr. Bright got up to go to the bathroom, and I went to the bathroom too. So we were standing, he was talking, he said, look, I got this beeper one. He said, I got to go deliver a baby. He said, these youngsters are disrespectful. He said, you take my seat next to Dr. Kimbrough. I said, all right. So I went on back, and I said, next to Dr. Kimbrough, and they started coming back in and all that. And Dr. Kimbrough went to asking me, because I was ambassador to the Empress of Washington, Bertie Achi. I'm ambassador to her. Well, you know, because I'm from Louisiana, too. I'm an Indian, right? For real, a real Indian. Anyway, he wanted to get me to talk to her so she could lift some tariffs, of taxes, like on imports. He had an idea. He said, we can purchase a lot of computers from, like, Indonesia, different places like that, and then sell them to colleges all over the country, and we can make a killing real quick. You know, and I was hearing him talking like whoa, 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 whoa. You know what I mean? I really wasn't like Charlie Brown. I couldn't really hear him, right? Because something kept telling me, turn around and look, turn around and look. And I was like, shit, I've seen enough today, right? But I went on and did it. I turned around and looked, and that's where the Sheriff Seals was. He was sitting at the desk on the other side of the gate, and he had turned his head all the way backwards, like Reagan, like on that picture, We Are Family, with the head all the way backwards. I swear, I'm telling you, his eyes was jet black holes, identical to Malachi's eyes. The same jet black holes. And he was staring straight at me. Now, ask yourself, why all the people in there couldn't see that? You understand me? And he would just stand at me. So Dr. Kimball was talking. I turned around. I was talking just like a duck. He was. I couldn't even get my. I was like, shit. I was already messed up, right? You know what I mean? So then it was the confusion of him supposed to be the white devil, and then and I was like, how they do the same one? What you know what I mean, right? Exactly. They got a different suit on, but that's the same thing in there. You know what I mean? And. So he was calling me like two or three times a day, each and every day. And I told my mate, the mother of three of my children about that at one time. And she said, why don't you just ask him what that was. But I never did. But this time he was talking real fast like usual. Yeah, I need you to go out tonight and do this and get them niggas to do this thing. You know how Woodhall goes off and never come back this one. And then when he slowed down, I said, look, you remember in the courthouse we was up there and then you came to the gate and you were looking at my eyes? He said, yeah, I remember that. I said, your eyes was just black holes like that. He said, yeah, I know that. I said, I know what you saw. I said, okay. And then he started talking real fast again about something else. I was like, wait a minute, I'm not through. Then he slowed down again. I said, why? When I told him I saw those black holes like that, he dropped the phone in jail. He dropped the phone. I could hear it clearly drop, and he started rumbling up a lot of papers, and he dropped the phone. He was like, that messed him up, right? And I was thinking, now, what is really going on? Anyway, I heard him rumbling up papers and all that. Then he got back on the phone. He said, because I'm writing a new holy tablet right now, you know, I'm going to put a new holy tablet out. And I was thinking, now, what does that got to do with the price of God? That's not what I do. I asked you what time it was. You give me a weather report, nigga. What was it with the black eyes? And then I asked him again, and this is his answer. He said, didn't you know I was a gray? Mm-hmm. I said, no, I didn't know that. I had no, no, I didn't know that. Yeah. See, so you got to remember that when a baby is in gestation inside the mother, that when you, you know it's four periods, 3 months, but just in the three last trimesters when they're actually starting to take form, and the first trimester, it's a reptilian. You see that? Look at the zygote. It's got claws, it's curled up, and it's got a long tail like an alligator. You see what I'm talking about? Look it up. Right now, somebody look it up. The three stages of gestation. It's a reptile. You understand? And then the second trimester, which is really the third, it's a Roumardian or a gray. See? Then the baby turns into a gray with that big, big head. You know what I'm talking about? And the gray, and that's still in you because when you take a bath and you stay in that too long, you know, okay, I know, if you know how you used to be, you put a Band-Aid on and you leave it on a long time and you take it off and your skin be gray? Y'all don't remember that?
My skin's never been gray. It's been white.
That was gray. Well, I mean, but I hear what you're saying. But grays look like that kind of white. I don't mean gray like a battleship. I mean, they call them grays, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Your hand be like that kind of white, you know, that white line around it where that Band-Aid was right there. That's what a gray is right there. That's a Roumardian or a gray. And then in the third or fourth final trimester, it becomes a Homo sapien, right? Mm-hmm. So what a Roumardian or a gray is a hybrid, a cross between a reptile and a person. Is everybody, you hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A gray is a hybrid, is a cross between a Homo sapien and a reptilian. So it's not a lot of difference in, you know, grays and reptiles are not as far apart as what you think. You got what I'm saying? But now, let me explain something to you, Della. See, Malachi or Malachi or it means my angel. Malachi, my angel. Malachi Desdek, Malachi, my angel. You follow? But people that's been with this doctrine long enough know that Malachi teaches you that all angels are what, sister? Somebody.
Agreeable?
Well, no, they're not all agreeable. You got fallen angels. No, I mean, what are they in their anatomy? I mean, what are they? Are they reptilians, grays, or Homo sapiens?
I think they're grays.
That's what they are. You correct, I care. Thank you. Angels are grays. You hear me, Della?
Hmm.
They're not little fat white babies with bird wings. They're grays. Them little fellas that come pick up white folks and take them off and prod them and all that mess.
Mm-hmm.
And it tickled me. This is a commercial, but black people, brothers and sisters, all be asking, how come they don't be coming getting black people out moon like they wounded or something? Hell, myself, nigga. The ones that control the graves and sending them out, they are black. They don't have to probe you, sister or brother. They are you. They know what the hell you are. They know what you are. They ain't looking for nothing in you. You them. You know what I'm saying? No, They experiment on these little things here. You know, Barney just got caught up in the Barney Hill. He just got caught up with that white woman. That's all. You know what I mean? But no, they don't fool no niggas. They don't need. They are niggas. I believe me. I've been out there a lot of times. I don't be seeing no white folks. I saw some Pleiadians once or so. You know what I mean? But you know, I know one time I woke up. I was sitting like on the edge of the arm of a couch, and I was in deep hypnotic state or something, and people, they was asking me questions, and I was telling them all about myself from, like, the beginning to the end, everything. But I'm not going to lie, I got embarrassed because when I started coming to myself, I'm not kidding. You know, I was so good because I was telling them, you can't lie in the spirit. I was so good, I got embarrassed. You know what I mean? But I remember, like my mother, grandmother used to say, where that big-eyed, woolly-head boy at? You know, say, he out there with that Bible or with them dragonflies, or he's catching them honeybees, or, you know, he's working in a garden, or he's singing and rocking and singing to God. And play. I mean, really, seriously, pure, good. And I was just sheepish. I was embarrassed. And then I came all on myself, and I looked down to the left, and it was three peccables there, two white men and a white woman in the middle. She had a briefcase on the lap with paperwork and stuff. When I looked at them and they saw I was woke, them peccables fold up all that mess and jumped up, and they had on suits and stuff, and jumped up and ran out a door to the left fast as they could. I never did know what that was about. But it did remind me of a time I was in San Diego, and I was acting imam at the Amsterdam Law Community in San Diego. And I had been ordering a lot of Qurans, picked all Qurans, the same ones that we had on Bushwick. You know, I was getting cases of them. I'd get 15 or 16 cases of them at a time from the king. And the postman came by there, the white man said, it's not that many Muslims in San Diego. What are you doing? All you got them? I said, your job is just to deliver the mail. That's all. I don't know. What is all this conversation? You know what I mean? I don't need, you know, I want to say, little peckerwood, don't make me slappy. Just, you know, give me my boxes, you know. But anyway, I would give a Quran to every brother or sister that I saw. Anyway, one day I was standing in the yard. I had a beautiful property overlooking Mexico and all that, and I was standing by a yucca tree, like a exotic plant. Anyway, the corner broke the corner of like a Rolls Royce, right? A steel gray or silver Rolls Royce, like a silver shadow. I mean, it didn't make a sound. It was like a UFO craft. And it was a big one. It was old money. And it swished on round and just glided to a stop right in front of the gate. And a white man and a white woman got out of there. And, I mean, they was pasty and white. I mean, I don't mean pale. They was white. And they was meticulously dressed. I'm talking about like they looked like mannequins in the store, except they was moving, right? Not a lint or a fur. Wasn't even no wind blowing their hair. They cold. I mean, they just came out looking like mannequins. And they had some note thing, book or something in their hand, just like these crackers. And they walked up through the gate right there, and the sun was bright on a beautiful California. Y'all know how it is in California. And they walked over to me, and they said, they didn't call me Darren, but they called me Ahmed. They said, Ahmed, you really have to stop teaching what you're teaching, you know what I mean, to these people. And I looked at them for a long time. I said, well, you know, they're my people. I don't know why you're concerned about that. And they said, well, are you going to stop? I said, no. And they said, well, we're going to turn your brother against you. And they turned around. And they got back in the car. When they closed the doors, they didn't make no noise. Just whoosh, and they just swished off like that. Never saw them again. But my brother, Red, my older brother, you know, we got the same mom and daddy, but he was born with blue eyes and blonde hair. And I'm going to tell you, he was a glaring red infant. You know, he shot so many people, a lot of times with my guns and all that, stabbing and cutting people. But the point is, he got in some trouble again because he did naturally, right? And I was taking care of him and his wife, Rose, and their three little girls and all that. So I took care of him for years, and plus giving him $50 allowance a day. And that was before they had any welfare or anything. I was just doing that. But that wasn't enough to keep him high or whatever. And anyway, he was locked up. And then they summoned me to court. So I went down there, and the judge did some horrible thing. The nigga already jealous of me, you know. I'm your big brother. I'm your big brother. You know, stuff like that, you know, all the time. And so the judge gets up there and said, Larry Dansberg? I said, yeah. He said, look, we've decided that we're going to release your brother into your custody because we're appointing you as his probation officer. I was like, what the hell? What do you mean? So, and he looked at me and said, lad, I just want to get out of here, man. And so I signed the papers and all that. But that opened up a door to hell right there. You see what I'm talking about? They knew that boy was jealous of. They knew how he was, how he felt, you know. And, you know, he had stabbed me once with a butcher knife, and I had knocked him out at my grandma, and I was getting ready to cut his head off and put him in the trunk. We done been through some things, right? So I was thinking to myself, now these people was, what you mean they really are lining this stuff up like that? And I ended up, he kept ripping me off and doing different things, and I lost it one night. He tried to get some niggas to, because he had stole me off to throw it off, like to get them to shoot me. What's that? You got a gun, Larry? You got a gun? I was like, man, I slapped that nigga so hard, he backflipped over the goddamn fence. I mean, the niggas, they just left. But I got to go, and I must have kicked that nigga's ass for about five blocks. And when I looked up anywhere, when I come to myself, he was so bloody, I couldn't even see it from here. So I walked him back, but he wouldn't go back. Now, I know he was talking like Sarah. I know what's going to happen if I go back in there. But the thing is, they had enough sense to do that, to turn my brother on me. And I said, oh, this ain't just no spiritual ghost stuff. This stuff is, these white people, they are devils, you know, and they be having circles, seances and witch circles and all that. Now, and then I had some people that was running a house for me or something like that. Anyway, her name was Al Huda, Marilyn Williams, and her daughter was Nubia. And this one brother, and I had two houses I bought on three lots on Hilltop and Raven. Anyway, I took the smaller two-bedroom house, and I remodeled it for my mother, you know, plus carpet, central air and heating, and I stuccoed it, new roof up, you know, like a birthday cake with glitter and, like, diamonds and gold, all it, and, you know, like you would do for your mother. I made it a real nice. I even made the sidewalk swerving all the way down with my fingerprints and put benches out there with her favorite flowers around and star jasmines and avocados. Then I put every kind of fruit tree you could think around. Anyway, she wrote me. She said, no, I don't want to live that close to you, son, because I don't want to be an interfering mother-in-law like mine was, you know, like that. So I said, wow, I want to go. But Martin rented it, you know, and Minnie, his wife, you know, and they had just got married and they had a little baby girl, and they were so happy, a happy little couple, you know, they was really happy, and they was both went out one day to look for work together, and so they asked for a babysitter. So Al Huda and Nubia said, we'll watch the baby for you. And the next thing I know, when they looked, I heard a ambulance out there, a rescue squad, whatever. And when I went to the picture window, I could see they had blankets on the lawn, and the baby was there, and they was working, trying to resuscitate the baby and all. So I ran outside. I said, what's going on here? And the guy looked up at me. He took the tank off the baby and all, shook his head, you know, and he said, well, somebody evidently fed the baby a pretty large piece of raw steak or meat, and the baby strangled on it. I was like, bitch, you old enough, you all these, you got seven damn kids, and you mean to tell me you know better than, I'm a man, and I know better, I feed my, you mean you know, put a newborn infant, a piece of meat, a lump like that, big enough to choke them? Now, here we go. So, but now it came back to me, because about a week before that, I was standing out by that same yucca tree on the most beautiful, bright summer day you could imagine. It was like a postcard. And while I was sitting there, the sky was so crystal clear and blue, I looked up and to the right, and here this B.I.T. come dropping down feet first, Al Huda, Nubia's mother, this black-ass bitch. And she used to always say, the devil gave me my sight in the sewers of Seattle. The devil gave me my vision in the sewers of Seattle. And I was thinking, she never did clarify. I was thinking, what do you mean? You was blind physically? And what do you mean? I don't know. But now I realize what you mean. In other words, she was seeing the world a certain kind of way, but the devil woke her up or whatever, you know, gave her a bit. And she was dropping down feet first with some black, like, boots, like, with tie-up shoestrings, you know. And she was dressed like in a nun's habit, like Friar Tuck or something, but it was gray. The same kind of thing Malachi had on by that water when I was up there, you know, but and she had a little sash around it, like a rope, and it was hanging down on the left side around her waist, just like a, and she had that cape over it, the little zigzag thing. But I could see that black-ass woman dropping, and she was dropping down foot first out the sky. Now, I was shocked again. I was a cat. I was in my 20s. I couldn't even, I said, now what is, but my brother Red was standing in the picture window. He ran outside. He said, lie. He said, man, I'm your brother. What did you, I know you saw something. Man, what did you see? And I told him, you know, he said, man, I knew something. He said, I could look at you, man. I ain't never saw you like that. I said, yeah, but I never saw nothing like that. And you know, and her daughter just came in recently. You know, look at her. She stole all the herbs that I was healing people from all kind of critical things. But I know I was up in another realm. I'm not trying to go off, but I was in another realm. And this wasn't too many years. This was no more. This wasn't that long ago. And I was standing up, and I was in a like a tent that a sheik or something would have in the desert, like Arabian, you know. It was made out of, like, silk or thin material, and it was kind of cool in there, but it was like, you know. But it was brothers in there, and they was all tall and jet black. I could tell by their hands. I know that, you know. And they had them capes on their head, too. But the thing was strange about them is they had, you know how them old ladies had them wooden hand fanals and fans in church that they'd be cooling off with back and forth. They had a big thing like that by the handle and a thing covering up their face, but it was bigger than them fans. And they was all walking around talking to me, but they all had them things in front of their face. That's what I'm trying to get back to you with that God, you can't look at our face or you die. What they mean is that if you go back and tell anybody how ugly we are, we'll kill your ass. That's what they mean. You see? Yeah, right, yeah. And anyway, they were standing up with them sides, and I was standing up in front of one. So I went and sit down on a couch. I really didn't care. I don't know why, but I'm comfortable wherever I'm at. I don't care because they know it'll be a whole lot of furniture moving and some heads falling off. Because I'd be having blood pouring like water, killing them by the hundreds, snatching crabs out there. I don't give a damn, but I'm not there for no trouble. So I sit down on a couch, and then it was like pillows that a cushion that had like you got two cushions. And one of the brothers sit down next to me, and he put a big one on them sides, slid like a stand between the pillows, so there'd be a big partition between us. I was thinking to myself, nigga, why you doing that? I don't give a goddamn what you look like. What is all that? You know what I mean? But before I could even finish that thought, another one walked up to me with the sign on. He said, Malachi wants to see you. I said, yeah, where's he at? He said, out there on the water. So I looked out there through the little blowing curtains light. And I stood up and opened them up and walked on out on the sand. Oh, it was a pristine, you're talking about a beautiful atmosphere, environment. It's nothing I ever saw on earth. It was pristine, the sand, the temperature, the sky, the water. The air was so clear. It was so beautiful. It was like it was perfection. And so I looked way out there, and on the edge of the water, there was somebody sitting in a lotus position with his right side to the water. And he had his head down, with that cloak on it, like on a zigzag pack. And he was sitting in a lotus position. So I walked on over there, and then I got down in a lotus position in front of him, right? And I was just sitting there. I didn't say nothing. Then he raised his head up, and goddamn. Goddamn. Ugly. You're talking about painfully ugly. Goddamn, this cat here was an ugly motherfucker. This was an ugly MF. I ain't lying, boy. I looked at it, but the thing that got me, that tripped me out, though, I know when I make salat, I always make that pyramid by my forehead when I prostrate, and I always see like a third eye inside that green pyramid, a third eye right there, where I got that symbol. Y'all remember that seal that I got, Al-Hayu, the life giver, the six-pointed star and crescent on my forehead in green light? A lot of y'all saw that, right, on pictures?
Cool.
Okay. All right. Yes, okay. Now, so, and that's the seal, by the way, the seal of the 144,000, the lamb, their father's name written there for his. That's the seal that y'all are going to have, the seal of the ever-living creator, El Hayu, three mems, right? Anyway, I saw that green third eye in his forehead, like mine, just like mine, and that got me all confused, right? I was confused again, like when I saw seals, and I was like, now, what the hell is this? I know this ugly rascal. Now, second, I know we won, but he's got one too. Or what is going? And before I could finish the thought, he had leaped up and grabbed me on the top of my shoulders and was shaking me like, "You are not an interdimensional being. You are not an interdimensional being." And I was like, "Nigga, you a damn lie in my mind. This is another dimension I'm in right now. Why are you lying? Why are you doing that?" And then I looked at him like, you nigga, you better take your hands and you better come. And he sit down, and he assumed a real humble position. Then he looked at me because my anger was growing. He said, my leg is hurting. My leg is hurting me. I need you to help me. And so I reached under this robe and, you know, with capacity to try to fix his leg. And I tested. It was like hard gristle, like a chicken leg. If you could feel a gristle, but it was hard like iron or something like that. I was like, shit, this ain't no leg, nigga. What is this? This is not no leg. You know what I'm saying? But I was healing it anyway. Whatever the little hard thing was, I was like, God damn it. You know, but yeah. They say that chickens and things and birds come from dinosaurs. But anyway, that was that. But I'm sorry that I cut you off, Della. But I just wanted to throw some. I wanted to give people some kind of an overview about some of the things that be happening around here. Because that little white egghead boy, he one of them, and that young elder, he's clowning too. You see, because I've been out there a lot of times. Y'all, maybe I don't know who has and who, but I know I've taken some people to risk into the Crystal City and the Bureau, and especially the Crystal City a lot in different places. To India or this and that, but now the thing is this: y'all ain't been out there like me, like that. I know, I'm pretty sure, because I would have heard, we'd have heard something. So this boy keep on talking about this planet and these beings and this and that and the other, and a lot of that makes sense. But now I'm gonna tell you, the only one I know for sure on Earth is from out there is Malachi. Now he knows that shit for real. I done seen him. We done walked together out there. I cut his head off like 3 times. But I'm just saying, I know, that boy don't know that he's reading that stuff. He's memorizing it like a rapper. They got a memory. They can memorize that stuff. You understand words and things. But that's coming from Malachi. When he's talking on his own, he can't even put 2 sentences together. He's ignorant. Yeah.
Okay, so my final question is this.
Wait a minute, I put your mouth on the phone, Della, so I can hear you, and thank you for your patience.
Okay, well, this is my question, because, like, sometimes, like, with me still, me being led there, and I try to keep my mind on positive stuff to help me sleep, so I'm wondering, like, should I just, like, leave that whole situation alone then and all of that stuff?
Right, yeah, you really are.
And
yeah.
I'm being honest now. I mean, and I need your personal
truth,
because I trust your judgment and your guidance right now.
Right,
if I need to leave all of
that
with anything,
that's the difference. They just talking. But now the thing is this. Let me explain. Now, see, they're purely physical, all of them. You understand me? And this is a spiritual journey, and the journey's within. You follow? And they keep on trying to get you to worship, and you know, some other deity outside, some other being outside yourself. Wrong. The God you're looking for is your own higher self. You follow me? That's the temple he's in on the side of your head. That's the God. That's that silent voice to tell you don't do this, or you ought to do that, or whatever. Return to the world of the first mind. Make that eye single again. That inner being. That higher self. That's God. And ain't nobody out there, no another planet, no fat baby with bird wings, or no bald-haired white man with a beard playing a harp with bird wings, you know, on walking on gold streets in the clouds and all. Stop it. I don't care if you're black or white. It ain't nobody out there. Because if you create an image of the likeness of God and you're a woman, you messed up already. See what I mean? So it's not a physical thing at all. But all he keep talking about is this ship here going to take you to Mars, and this one to Jupiter and Venus and this, that, and the other. I'm an astronomer. I understand that, and I've been to a lot of them planets.
Well, I haven't listened to him all like that. All I'm saying is,
a lot of people have, so I'm not just talking. I'm talking to everybody,
okay.
You see.
Okay.
You know, because I send things to people from him, and I sent that you might have been an email, but I send my students these things so they can know. I like to make sure they know. But if you pay attention, all he do is talk about physical things out there, like how fast the ships can go and far, how far this is and what kind of beings, you know, and the Mother Hubbard and the reptilians and the grasshopper people and the ant people and this and that, you know, all these beings. And all that's, you know, a lot of that's true. But, I mean, What has that got to do with you? I could say you could be on earth and then you could be having problems, personal problems. Somebody can tell you the whole ancient history of China or Indonesia. And you'd be like, I understand what you're saying. And that could be true. But that can't help me. I don't know what you keep talking about out there, you know, and this ship and that kind of ship. And I got to get y'all ready for the ship and the craft to come and this, that. The journey is within. The kingdom of heaven is within you. They never say anything spiritual. And every time somebody asks them about life after death or you know, anything spiritual, they always say, well, you have to ask the master that. I don't know that. That's why I'm here. You see what I'm saying? I died three times in 2013, and Malachi died with me at least twice in 2013, too. So I can answer questions like that. They can't. So evidently, it's no such thing as death. Do I sound pretty much alive to you, don't I? So it's not true in the sense that you think about it. But death is like a birth, like a baby that when it's born, and then the doctor's making it draw breath, and it binds the flesh and the spirit to the mother to create the living soul. And in essence, the baby dies from out of one reality, and when it takes that first breath, it's born into another. You follow me? So it's tab-dak, plane after plane. It's an ascension. So just like you have an umbilical cord, you also have an etheric cord attached to the top of your head, to your crown molar that's attached to the information plane, to the soul plane, right? And to the oversoul. And you follow me? And so that, you know, every night, you know, you leave your body, Della. You know, the spiritual essence of that light travels up the light cord of your spine and Jacob's ladder past the seven sealed chakras of heaven, you know, laryngeal seat, pineal gland. And you may see a warm white light flash in your left eye sometime. That's your spirit trying to get out. But it goes to the crown molar, the soft spot on the baby's head, to that etheric cord. It's about a thin, transparent, a hollow tube about the diameter of a thread. It's real thin. But that ball of light, which is the real you, raises up to that temple. It raises up in vibration at the mouth of that tube, and it causes it to expand and open like a woman dilating to give birth. And then the real you, the light being, the ball of light, travels out of your physical head into that hollow tube. And that's the tunnel that people say they're going through, and near-death experiences or something like they went through a tunnel. And then when you get out of your body, then you feel like you're free. You're flying and floating in what you think is a dream. You're going here to India. You're going back in childhood. You're going in the future. You're seeing all kind of things. And then when you get through, sometimes you feel like you're falling, Della. You get scared, but you never hit the ground. You slide back down that tube, pop back into your head, reanimate your flesh. Because you didn't come from the ground. You didn't hit the ground. You're not going to hit no ground, but you feel like you're falling, you're going to hit the ground. But when you do, you know, your eyes will pop open because that life force is back in that mud, that clay. But if you try to move too fast, you find that sometimes you can't move your feet or your hands. You have to wait a minute until that spirit downloads down your spinal column and reconnects to all the nerve ganglia so they can shoot electrical impulses to your fingers and things and to your toes so that it'll cause that electric energy or cause, like if you hit a muscle with electric wire, it'll draw up or move, you know, those electrical pulses make control the movement or animates the flesh. You follow me? So it has to be descend all the way back down into the solar plexus and get properly reseated in the solar plexus in order to trigger those electrical impulses. Until then, you can't move. And then old people say it's a witch riding your back and all. That's called sleep paralysis. That's all. You have to be asymptomatic, patient enough to allow that light to travel back down and get properly relocated there. But now, I woke up one time and like a big giant mausoleum, I don't know what, but at a dirt floor. And I saw all these black pipes on the ground, you know, small, I would say about 9 to 10 inches long or something, black pipes, hollow in the center, jet black pipes. And I looked behind me, and I saw two rectangle graves, perfect dug graves, you know, open graves. And I started picking these pipes up and throwing them down into the first grave, into the hole down there. And when I was doing that, I saw two little bitty, Malachi's got real small hands, like real small. And I saw one little brown hand and another little brown hand come up. I said, I had a feeling. Then I saw him pull himself up, and I said, oh, yeah, I knew you were going to be strong enough to come up out of there. I knew that. I don't know why, but I sounded a little, I don't know. Anyway, he got pulled on up, and then he jumped up and got a croaker sack or something, and he jumped down in the first grave and started throwing all them pipes back out. And then he started gathering them up in a bag, a sack or something. So I said, oh, they must be some kind of, I don't know what it is. So I got a big thing. I started collecting them too. And then we started walking out this big place here, and we went through the doorway, cobblestone sidewalk, but it was daytime, but it was no real bright sun, and usually not in that place, and the sky would be closer to the ground. Anyway, as we was walking, we were saying, but I looked down on the ground, it was a holy tablet laying down there, wide open. And I looked down, I said, And I reached out and picked that up, and before he said, you don't need that, put that back, you don't need that. And I was like, nigga, I need this. You don't, yes, I do. I need this, you know. But even over there, so I'm telling y'all that don't think that's him. Yeah, that's him telling people to put them tablets up. I'm telling you that now. And we got to walking right there. But in other words, I know what death is, and I know what it's not. I was on another world, and I was standing outside in daylight, but like you say, the sun is not real bright, and the sky is a lot closer. You can see everything. We're like 9 suns, but it's real close. And I was standing up there, and some young teenage boy came out, kind of brown skin, light brown skin. He was standing, I guess he must have been about 16 or something around there. And he was standing up, we was talking, and he was asking me where I was from. I was telling him, and I was asking him where is he. He told me, but I still don't remember. But anyway, he invited me in, so we was in the stand-up, I guess you call it the living room. And he walked over to the wall. He balled up his fist, and he pushed it against the wall and started turning it, like pushing with pressure. And damn, his fist all the way up to the, almost to the elbow, went through the wall. You can see the little cracks coming around. It went through the wall. And then he pulled it out. I was like, yeah. And I was standing on the floor. It looked like, felt like cement or something like that, a masonry or something hard. I thought, I said, I bet you can't do that to this floor. He said, yes, I can. He got down on one knee and started pushing, turning his fist against that the same way, just harder. And it eventually cracked and started giving way, and he stuck his hand down through there. Now, then something told me to look back at the wall, and it was just like it was before he did that. It was all fixed up like that, brand new. And he said, yeah, that's how it works here. I said, yeah, well, we get a hole in the wall where we come from, it fixed up too. We got to go to Home Depot and all that, but we get it fixed, you know what I mean? But anyway, while we was talking, it had to be his mother because she looked just like him. You know, and she came in and spoke like that, and then she just went over to the couch and then jumped up and flopped down on the back with her head on the arm, you know, real, just flopped on the couch, like, you know, like she was at home, like she was. And so I walked over to the other room, the other side of the room. It's like a long, skinny room, like a shotgun, and I walked over there, and I turned my back to both of them, and I was looking at them, but I noticed it was a mirror on my right, a full-length mirror, taller than me, a mirror. And when I looked in it, I was changing into everything. I was changing into about 1,000 different beings a minute. I couldn't even believe it. I was, you know, one time I believe I saw goddamn me Ronald McDonald. I said, oh, no. No. I mean, for real, like a Ronald McDonald type cat. And I was like, no. And then I heard some voices say, it was like they was talking to me, they said, he's beginning to wake up. He's waking. He's beginning to wake up. And so I walked away from there, and I walked over. They had a picture window on the right-hand side of the wall, a big picture window. I looked outside the day, and I saw out there, there was a black coffin.
Yeah.
And please, why don't, yeah, I know. Why don't you mute the phone? Mute the phone, devil. Yeah. Okay. And I looked out there, and there was a jet black coffin in the ground, but it wasn't all the way, you know, just the lid part, like about 3 inches, and then the crown, it was jet black steel. It was a pretty looking thing, you know, like it would have been a car, but, you know, but it was in the ground right there, but not all the way down. And I looked at that, and then so I turned away from that, right? I turned away from that, you know. I was like, I don't know what that means, but I don't need to look at that no more. So anyway, I walked back over there by the sister, and we started. Oh, the boy asked me. He said, "Do you know about a place called Brooklyn?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "That's where my mother's from. She's from Brooklyn." And I looked down at her, and I was thinking, "Yeah." But I wanted to ask him more questions. So they wanted me to stay. you know, but they want, you know, but what I was thinking is not me. I didn't like the coffin, and I didn't like the Ronald McDonald. I didn't like, you know, it was too much shit happening. So I just instinctively started turning like clockwise in a circle with my arms straight out, because I know that when you do that, you know, that's how you, a lot of people don't know it, but that's how you go to a higher dimension. You go to another dimension and you twirl around clockwise, you know, in a circle, faster and faster. That's why Ahmed was a Sufi, and he used to have the Ansars doing that in the Dicker circle, you know, turning around. That's why he used to call us the whirling dervish. You know, I'll run into you like a whirling dervish, because we used to turn around and around in a circle like that, and then we would raise up and then turn into lights, and then we could move, you know, like one mind, and we would be lit up, and then they call us a mothership when they see us. You see what I mean? But that'd be me in the 24, like that. That's what a mothership is. Anyway, I was kept turning around and around, and then I opened my eyes and I knew I was going to be back here, but I wasn't. And then I started turning around faster and faster again like that, again, so I knew I didn't open my eyes. I still wasn't there. And then something, I looked at her and I said, do you know Melchizedek? She said, yeah. And I started turning around that time, and I woke up and I was back at home in the bed. I was like, yeah, shit. Ooh, I thought I was stuck. But, yeah, it's a lot of things happening. But these niggas that's pretending like they're messiahs and all that, they can't take a fly from a frog, and they just imposters. And remember what your Bible told you. In the end days, you're going to see everybody, I'm Christ over here, Christ over there, Christ, believe them not. Believe them not. Demand proof. Test every spirit to see if they are of the Creator. Test them. But they all got that, a lot of them can talk. But these niggas can't even talk. Especially this little white frump. He just all he do is hollering, making noise and talking vulgar, ignorant devil stuff. That's all he's doing. You know? So I don't know how people confusing him with the Messiah. Unless these people are like Malachi say, they all fallen angels. They can't all be fallen angels. I was sent here, so I know I'm not the only one. But I know this. It's not going to be a whole gang of people that I'm getting on. I know that. But go ahead. I'm sorry. And thank you all for your patience. Please remind me when it's approaching 10:30, because I need you all to go and do some things out there, disciples. Go ahead. You opening me up, Della, that, you know, so. I'm serious about that.
Yeah, well.
You're bringing
like
things
said,
to my so, mind back to me.
Because.
You got to
like
put your mouth on the phone. You got to put your mouth on the phone. Della, you got to put your mouth on the phone. Yeah.
I'm sorry. My phone is messed up. They be extra with me as far as.
I understand that. I know that.
So,
but bless them who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because there's the kingdom of heaven. Go ahead.
But, no, the only thing that I really had a question about is, because I just wanted to clarify that, and I thank you for that, but my only other question was, you know, he said it still has other individuals out there, and I'm not talking about them like the guy that was in a Wapi and Assassin. I'm just saying, I meant, I'm serious. I mean, I need to know, do I need to leave all of that Milwaukee stuff alone, whether it be past, present, or what?
Well, I don't know about that. You see, I don't discourage people from even going to church, because, see, the thing is that you have to keep your finger on the pulse of the nation and know what is and know what isn't. You follow what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just that I would be very careful when I go to church or fool with them black devils.
No, I'm out of that class. I'm cool on that.
Well, I understand, but you know, but you're not out of being around people that's still in it. You know what I'm saying? And your job is to teach the people. But you know, like I'm saying, if you pay, I don't know if he was here. I started breaking down some of the updates that he wrote. You know what I mean? And if you want, I can, upon a Babianoon, I can take a minute and go through one of his updates, and then, you know, you can hear me read it, and then I know you think you hear a lot of positive and good and wonderful things, or things you don't understand. But after I go back over and read it again, you'd be like, shit, that's really on any given Sunday? He's opening up my third eye. And now I can see what's under the paint on the wall. So that's really what he's saying? Yeah. Yes. Would you like me to show you?
I think I'm going to just, for my own sanity, I'm going to just, like I said, they already had me to wear, like I wasn't even, like I said, I just noticed myself getting further away from this whole, that whole thing. And like I said,
well,
you know, I know everything
you
happens.
That's a personal, trust your feeling. But like I say, I you know, you got to keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I don't really suggest that people break off from the world. In other words, if this is where the fallen angels were cast down, you can't get away from them. They can be your brother, your sister, your wife, your child, your daddy, your mom. You know what I mean? They can be you. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
you got to live
with them. You got to work with them. You got to live. I mean, they here, so there ain't no need in running. If you going to run from church or Nawapu, but you can't run from Nawapians and Christians.
Well, I'm just
so
saying,
better
well,
to
I
see
just
how they
left
operate
that to get to you. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, that's cool.
I needed
that's
that
exactly
to get
right
to you, and I'll just look at it that,
yeah,
at that and just leave it alone. I'm going to do that.
Okay, well, all right. Well, I'm going to still remind you of some things. But anyway, you need to keep your finger on the pulse, and I'm serious. You need to always keep your finger, you know what I mean? You always see, because the more you learn about exactly what it is that they promoting and what they doing, you know what I mean, the more that way, you see, you can learn a lot by knowing what isn't about what really is. That makes sense to you?
Yes, because you got to know your opponent. And if you don't
you
know
do
what's wrong, you won't know what's right.
That's right, because what's your defense against an invisible enemy? You following me? So I invite devils in a lot. I mean, you got to see one thing they never consider. Devils don't realize when they get close to you how close you are to them. And they only think about what devils are ignorant. They can only think they got a narrow mind. They only think about what they can do to you. They never even imagine what you can do to them. You hear what I'm saying? Universe movement never crosses their little roach mind. Never. You see what I mean? How much danger they in? You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Anything could happen for real. The sky and the floor could open up the ground. You know what I mean? They don't know what's going on inside their own. They don't know. They're so busy being smart and knowing what they're doing and doing something, thinking evil against you and all that and being aggressive, it never even crosses their mind. They're stupid. Like Evel Knievel jumping the Grand Canyon on a gas bike. They're dumb. They're dumb as hell. You know, and weak as sin. They're weak as wet toilet paper, I'm telling you. But no, it ain't no, you know, what I get through with you, I want them running from you, not the other way around. You hear what I'm saying? I want them, when you walk up, they start running for tall goddamn grass. Devils be...
Oh, they already do. And they already do.
I want them out there trying to dig a hole. We can say, I want them out there digging a hole and jumping in and then pulling the goddamn hole in behind them. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
When they see you. Yeah, that's right. Oh, here she comes.
Oh,
we got to go.
Well, it puts my stuff into perspective, because I remember this one time when I was living in Indianapolis, like this apartment that I stayed in, and this white female moved in with her two kids, and it was just so crazy because she was down there talking to me, and I was going through some really traumatic spiritual warfare, because I really had no understanding why the little random crazy stuff that was coming at me. But anyway, you know, I'm sitting up here talking to the mom, and her daughter, me and her just telepathically going at it. It was just super duper crazy. Nobody knew what was going on, and I'm sitting up here talking, and I'm like, really? It was wild. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, for real.
Let me say this, Della. See, what confuses about them is they can love you for who you are and still hate you for what they're not. Now, I know you probably say, how they going to have their foot on the brake of the gas at the same? They can do it.
Oh.
That's
what confuses them. I wasn't saying that.
I don't like it either, but I'm just saying it is.
It is.
That's right. That's the word for it. Yeah.
I don't have time for that. Like I said, that this has been crazy. Some of the
it said what they call energy vampires. They're draining.
Yeah, I know that.
You know, they can come in the house and everything be good and positive. One of them devils come in the house, and if you pay sometimes the light will start flickering in the ceiling. Pay attention. And then you be thinking, I don't know, it's about to go something. But it'd be them. They energy vampires. They really be draining energy and putting negative suggestions in your mind, and you find yourself fighting all the time with the devil because they got such a crooked-ass mind. They think evil continuously. And they got to warp, you know, they keep on trying to make you turn out, pound that square thing into a round hole over and over again. You're like, mother effer, that ain't going to never know. But they don't know no other way to think. They just evil by nature. You got two kind of devils. You got devils by conversion. Now those we can help. You know that they born good with a nice soul and they really power. And then they got with the wrong crowd or been traumatized or something. They got to, now you can work with them, but you got devils by birth, Della. You can't do shit. You can't take no old shoe and turn it into no butterfly. You can't do that. If it ain't nothing but evil there, you can't polish it up or fix. You can't do nothing. You can't put no make a silk purse out of a sow's hide. Some of them just evil.
I'll be so glad when this nonsense is over. I'm serious. I'm tired, for real.
We all tired of this mess, but I'm saying you got to remember the devil tired too.
I can't tell.
No, but yeah, they tired. They tired, but they ain't tired of living and existing, you see. And that mirage or dream is this. They ain't nothing but some bad dreams in your mind. And what happens to the characters in your dream when you wake up?
They gone.
That's right. Well, I'm waking you up, you see. That's why they fight so hard for their you know, they're trying to hold on. They don't want to go into the great sunken down past the furthest low tree. They try to stay out the pit. So, you know what I mean? It's hard for a person to sleep on that. A lot of them going to be fighting against you, and they don't even goddamn know why. If somebody asks them, say, why are you against that man and woman like that? And are they doing anything to hurt you? And they'd be like, no. Why are you plotting all this evil and doing that? And they just be looking like, well, you know, they gonna fight. They always got a right reason for doing the wrong goddamn thing. That's the devil. Only reason I'm doing that is because she's doing this wrong. They get only reason you're doing that because you're the goddamn devil. That's it. That's it.
I know, man. You know what? All I'm gonna say is in my famous words, they got to go.
They got to go. I don't know where they're going, but they got to leave here. Right. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Better yet, we're going to go and leave them behind. How about that?
Indeed.
Yeah. Let them have this thing. It's folded up like a lawn chair. Let them have it. And let them have each other so they can eat each other and drink the blood. Because without agreeable beings to fool with, they'll just combust. There's nothing they can do. They live off torment and torture and try to confuse and destroy us and bring us down and all kind of trick us and do all. That's what they live for. I told you, they're like vampires. You notice that you don't ever go looking for the devil, but he or she always trying to get to you? Haven't you noticed that?
Unfortunately, my whole life.
That's right. They always up in your business trying to get in your world. See what I'm talking about? So they get close to you to hurt you. You follow me?
Yes,
bring that
old like it.
Crooked ass mind, that barrel of snake's brain around. You know what I'm saying? That's it.
Yeah, and then I never can get no rest. Like when I'm talking, and I know when they're listening, because like you know, I mean, it just be so crazy, and I be cussing them out. I ain't gonna lie, I go off on them because I'm like, look, you always worried about me and what I'm saying and what I'm doing. I don't care nothing about you, what you're doing.
That's it.
I just want to be
that's right.
Alone. Just leave me alone.
You said it.
Jeez,
you said it, sister. Don't nobody give a goddamn what the devil doing.
No.
But they can't
you
stay out your business. They can't stay. They seem to think that their success is hinged inextricably on you, whether it's just to destroy you to their advantage, whatever. But they can't get their mind off out of it's you, a central figure that's charismatic to their survival or their existence or prosperity or their something. You know what I mean? But yeah, ain't nobody thinking about no goddamn devil. I don't be thinking about no devil at all.
Right, and that's agitating because, like, I'd be, you know, the calls that I make and stuff be calls for my family to check on somebody. It's always uplifting or something, you know. So
right,
when I know
right.
they hear it and my phone be on that trash, I start cussing them out, telling them about themselves and stuff. And like I said, when y'all babies is dying, y'all bleeding from y'all's booty holes, and that's not the word I be using, but, you know, when y'all going through what y'all going through, because just leave me alone. I'm not bothering you. That'll bother me.
They,
and what
they,
you should be worried about is what's going to happen to you.
You see, what happens is they subsist off the blood and torment of the righteous, of the innocent. And they do that to try to kill and confuse and mess you up, you know, and destroy your mind and break your peace, you know what I mean, so that that negative energy will subsist in the atmosphere to feed their overlords. They decide to pact with Satan. They're real fallen angels. You got it? But they don't even know, fooling with me, that there's one gift that I have of power that's greater than moving universes and all that. I have the power of forgiveness. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the power right there. And they plan with me. They last chance, the only chance they got. You got it? But they're so convinced in believing in the devil and all that, it's nothing you can say to them.
Like I said, I'm serious. It's your whole thing, like we talked about, is just stupid. You done got me in trouble and kicked out of heaven. I'm mad at you. I don't want to talk to you no more, not nothing. If anything, I'm trying to kick your behind. That's the way I feel about
it. Right. And if they had any sense, they'd all jump on the devil. And I've seen the Messiah's here to save us. I done went to the beings, you know, I went to Malachi one time, you know, I hate to, but he was in like a lit up, like a gym, like in junior high or high school, and it was bleachers there on the left-hand side, tall bleachers, and he was like the third one from the top. And he was surrounded by all these little young yellow brides, you know, these little young girls, you know, and he was reaching up behind his, over his head, you know, grabbing their little nipples and doing all, you know, playing. And I noticed a little flab on his arm. I was thinking, oh, buddy, you're getting a little something's happening, huh? Anyway, when I got his attention, I started looking in his eyes, and I told him, I said, look, brother, how about this? Why don't you and I just get together and save all these people? I was even talking about the little black devils there. It was a whole bunch of little, he always got a little mob up with him. You know, little Nagwabians, little short little devils. And I said, why don't we work together to save all these people? And all them little black niggas started moving toward me in the crowd as usual. And I just stopped this time. I didn't even have to cut their hair. I didn't have to do nothing until I just looked at them. I had to pull no killing beam or nothing. I just looked at them, and they froze and started backing up. And I, like the normal dryad or ghouls. And then I looked at him again. I said, why don't we just say, and the next to the scene changed, and he was standing like the old fireplaces they used to have. It's a mantelpiece, you call it, on top where you put your clock and different things. He was leaning against that with his left side of his body to the, you know, to the wall, and he had got a long ponytail. It wasn't braided, but a long, like me. He had a long ponytail like me, right? And he had his head looking up. You know, it like a bride when they like talk to the hand, like egging you or something, like he had his head up, and you know, like, you know, nigga, I'm not trying to hear that bullshit or something, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like a sister dude, you know, like snub you or something like that. And I was like, what? And so it was some little yellow little nigga came. He came, but he was agreeable. He said, come on, Amun, I'll give you a ride. He had a little red convertible. He said, I'm going to take you back. And when I turned around and go, I started hearing a lot of kicking and stomping and beating and going on. I looked around. They had opened the side door and had Malachi by both his ankles and by that ponytail. And them black-ass devils were stomping and kicking and stomping the shit out that nigga. I said, listen. I said, y'all let that man go. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that to that man. Don't do that. You see, in my mind, it's like, you can't just put that on the, you know what I mean? If somebody call you and tell you, look here, why don't you go jump off that cliff? If your black ass do it, you know, you really can't get, you know, you understand what I'm saying? These beings just call you. Ain't nobody making you go to hell or making you turn on the creator. Nigga, that was your own decision. Are you going to try to beat up somebody because they suggested because they asked you. You know, I mean, that's his mouth. He can talk to him, Job. If somebody tell you to drink poison, and you see all them people on the ground rolling around foaming and they back snapping from pain, and then you pick it up and drink it, then shut your ass up. Get that whining up. Get that whining up, nigga. You know what I'm talking about? Be jumping on that man for that. I mean, he can talk. You ain't got to listen. You know. And so they got up and let him go, and I just came home and I left, you know. But that's only thing I'd be asking him, you know. And the only thing he'd be asking me or demanding for me, you get me out of here. When are you going to get me out of here? I know one time I ended up and I was in that same penitentiary that he's in right now, but it was a second tier. And he was standing up there looking down. Some evil. I was just standing up looking at him. He was smoking a cigarette. And, yeah, he smokes cigarettes right now. I know that. A lot of people don't know that. And he was smoking me, and he was saying, when are you going to get me out of here? And then I looked, and it was like a kitchen thing, and it was the little round stainless steel stools they have by the table that they eat in the cafeteria or whatever. He was sitting on one of them in an orange jumpsuit, right? And he was all gray, all over gray, you know. And but he took that cigarette and threw it down real hard. He was real mad. He was just mad walking up and down. When are you going on the catwalk, just walking back? When are you going to get me out of here? When are you going to get me out of here? Every time I see him, he's just one thing. When you going to get me out of here? When you going to get me out of here? You know what I mean? And threatening, you know, if you don't get me out of here, it ain't going to turn out good. It ain't going to turn out good. And I said, and then something raised up in me and tell him real loud with a wall shake, it is going to turn out good. It is. You're all wrong with you. I didn't get your ass in here. I did everything I could to get you out. Nobody, I helped you more than anybody on the planet. You turned around and stabbed me in the back with a rusty-ass knife. You know? Like you've been doing all the time you was out. What is your problem? I never did nothing to hurt you or nobody else. I'm not a hurtful, evil being. I don't even think like that. What is y'all, nigga, what is y'all, man, y'all got it bad. Y'all got a cold thing for me. Seriously. I'd be up there walking around with them in different realities. I know one time I was up there and I was standing on the left-hand side of this tall, thin black one, real, with the white hair. I don't know who he is for sure, but I know when I say, I mean, like from 7 to 12 feet tall, like that, or not 8 to 12. He's tall and thin, skinny, and jet black, you know, he was talking on. Then he went to telling me about what he, like something you got to stop doing, you want to get, and something made me mad. I looked at it, and I ain't going to lie, we got to, he said, we'll kill you, you know. They always keep telling me that every time I walk by. I can say, hey, brother, hey, sister, we'll kill you, you know. I'm like, God damn, what is it? That's the only word? That's all y'all know? I'm not here for that. Where'd that come from? We'll kill you, you know. But I know I got so emotional, and that's why I hate to tell y'all this, but I shit on myself. I really did, you know. I know y'all laughing, but I'm just telling you, you know. So I asked him where the facilities are. Just act like you didn't hear that because I'm just... Anyway, and so I went, it was like a athlete, and I went in there, you know, really clean, you know, took care of everything right there. And I came back out, and I was madder than ever. He was still standing up there, stand straight ahead up in the air or whatever. I don't know, it was by the dome, and it's a dome up there, you know. And when it opens, you know, you can see a lot of crabs on the... And so I said, oh, so you don't ever do nothing wrong. You ain't never did nothing wrong. You ain't never... You perfect, right? And then the scene changed, and we was in like a cafeteria. And every time I went... You know, you get your plate and you go from this place to that place. Like everywhere I went, to the cashier, to the this, well, not cashier, but whatever, every station it was him with a different, like on that comedy show when the guy used to be the pilot, the woman that get the tickets and the you know, like I said, oh, so you everybody, you everywhere, right? He was everything, right? Everywhere I go, he was the one there, you know, and he didn't even see, he was looking at me, right? So I got my plate, and I went and sit down.
Brother Moon.
Yes.
It's time to go out. It's time to go
out. What
time
is it?
10:26.
Okay. I'm going to finish this. I went and sit down on the couch next to, like, I thought it was a heavyset sister, right? And I had my plate in my hand, and I know it was, I don't know what it was, but it was a piece of fish shaped in like a triangle, a piece of fish. I'll go eat my fish. Then a little bitty boy, a little young boy walked up, a little brown-skinned boy, and it reminded me of, Corey DeLon was my firstborn son. Well, I think I was 15, and these sisters were babysitting for me. So they were about 7 years old, Sandra Lewis, and you know, all that there. I guess they said he was playing house. I must have been the doll or whatever. Anyway, but he died in a fire. Anyway, the little boy walked up to me and he said, "Can I have a piece of fish?" And I was going to say, "Sure, son, you can have." But before I could say it, this black brother, this reason about, "Oh, go ahead, let him." I want to say, "Bitch, shut the fuck up. I know what, you know what I mean. What is wrong? What, I don't need no, help." You know what I mean? I said, "Go ahead, son. So he picked up the fish. And I was going to break it, tell him to break up, get with it. But he bit off the fish, and then he put it off, and he started chewing and chewing. Then he reached in his mouth and got a big ball or whatever it was and stuck it back on my plate. Now, I wanted to crack him. But I said, "Now, see, son, you ought not be like that. That's not nice right there." You know what I mean? That's not the way you do. But I wanted to say, "You little son of a bitch, you."
Nasty.
Yeah, son of a bitch. I didn't feel like hearing him talking about we're kicking. Because a lot of times I don't even know where I'd be at and all that, and how far it is, how to get fucking to Detroit or nothing. I don't know. Bobby saying, "Man, they be making me mad, But, okay, y'all, look, y'all need to go outside seriously, and I need some disciples to move some things today. Now, you see, you're talking about young elder. I got some stories for you for real, but they ain't stories. This is real. Real. The last person, Taheem, was here. He's supposed to be on the phone tonight at some time. I was showing him in the bedroom where I was showing him the pictures where I got taken up in that vortex, and it snatched all the tiles out the ceiling. I was telling him, you can see it on the picture, but I covered it back up. But I was thinking, how can spiritual wind knock down physical tiles out the ceiling? I couldn't figure it out. Anyway, y'all, there's a connection between the spiritual, the dream world, and the physical world, isn't it? Y'all step outside, please, and who's going to be the first one to move some stars in Texas or Pennsylvania or wherever y'all at, please? Let's do it real quick because 10:30, I promise them, at 10:30. Washington, D.C., move some stars. Come on, y'all be agreeable seraphims and look at some stars out there and tell me what you see. Tell us what you see first. Come on now, not just one person or two people.
Rahul Bhatt.
Hey, Rahul Bhatt.
Rahul Bhatt.
All right.
God, this is hard.
I know. I feel your vibration. I think it's in Chi-Town, man.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Everything's cool.
Slow motion, huh?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
what you see up there?
I see a star. I see a few stars. It's kind of hard to sing along because I don't see one constellation, so I can show where it is. Anyone can
find it. Okay. But they'll see the movement. You see any big one, a big bright one out there? It was one when I just got through walking.
Yeah, I'm looking for a big bright one.
I know you're around tall buildings, right? You can't. Okay. What do you see? One over the top of your head? People can always follow them directions.
Yeah, I see a couple over the top of my head. It's one that's faint, and then there's one.
Brighter?
Like, depending on where you are, a little brighter.
Okay, well,
like,
why don't you move the brighter one right there? You're not alone. You're not alone.
Okay.
Which way are you going to move it? And tell us what you see. Y'all look straight up in the top of the sky. Everybody here that's sincere about making this journey, you should be outside and looking up.
Just run it down to the left.
You want it to go to the left?
It's going down to the left, like, kind of like.
I don't.
I see that one too hard. It's already moving.
Yeah.
Already
yeah.
Moving.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's moving to the right now, huh?
Nah, that's supposed to be in our room. That wasn't me.
No, that was you. That was you at first. No, huh?
Okay.
No, that was you. That was you. I wasn't, son, you're laughing, but I wasn't moving it when that wasn't me. You know how, y'all know how sometimes when we just look at them, they start moving without us even thinking of anything,
right.
They just start moving.
Right.
Oh, okay, that's what I'm saying. I wasn't looking at it. I'm inside the house. He was looking at it. That was him. That was you, huh?
Oh,
all right,
yeah.
No, go ahead and finish doing what you're doing. I'm going to take my mind off it.
Oh, I went back in the house.
That was you.
It's still going. It's still running.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh.
No. Hold on. Y'all don't see it, but y'all tripping.
You ain't tripping. It is. It's moving. It's doing what it's doing.
Yeah.
I got my peg in the stool a little bit now, but I'm saying it's doing because you.
Oh,
well, no, but you was talking. Wait a minute, you was talking. Right now, I'm gonna let you focus. Go ahead. That was you. I told you when it was moving.
Oh, I can't wait till I get to do that.
I already know.
Okay.
You're right, because once you can do that, you can do anything, you know.
Man, I had to run back outside. Y'all scared me.
Don't be scared. I mean, be scared when you're not God and you don't have control.
Yes.
That's what to be afraid of, is to be immortal. That's scary.
Hey, Apple, you know the people was hanging up. They mad.
Well, I'm sorry, you know, but okay, now, Farasi, you see it, so what you going to move? Oh, Sent, Amun Re, what you going to move? Hello, Texas. All right.
I'm sorry, I had it on mute. I'm sorry.
Okay, so put your mouth on the phone big, a little bit. Put your mouth on the phone so we can hear. You know, I'm recording. I need to, and my voice kind of heavy. So, look, just tell us what you see and what you're going to move.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you, but it's just I'm trying to balance the volume. You know, speak up louder. Yeah, you got a soft voice.
Okay. It's the same thing that Ahar was moving. There are two stars at the very top and the to the right, there's one that's not so bright. I'm going to move the brighter one. In the name of Amun-Ra, the Messiah, run to the right. Run to the right in the name of Amun-Ra. Run to the right. It's going up. It's not running to the right.
I don't know what up means. But, you know, when you looking at the top of the sky, there's no up, down. I mean, it's just moving, right? But see, that's your left. But if you turn around the other way, then that left will be your right. You see what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
It's just running.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you what I did yesterday. I walked back in the dark, and I was looking up at the sky, and I saw a star, and I just looked at it. I didn't say anything. Remember, I was with my attorney, with her and her husband and her secretary, and they had me move this one, move that, move this one, so fast. I moved one, and then I took my bottle off, and the secretary was like, Mr. Dansberg, that one there just disappeared. It's going. I just looked at it, saw the last glimmering light, and it rattled. It disappeared. But I know it came back. I know it's because everything's got a cosmic order. It came back, I'm sure. But last night I had one running, and I just like kept letting it run all the way across. I just want to see. I just kept letting it go. I let it go further and further. Yeah. I try to keep them in a pretty tight.
Is that your energy that makes it just like continue to run after?
Well, I don't know. It's only one energy. It's just that it's like will. Whoever exerts the, you know, like I wish I had as much willpower as her or him. You got as much willpower as you exert.
Okay.
You follow me? It's all the same energy. Yeah. But you got to know and not just believe. You hear me, Simon Peter?
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, who else going to move some for us? Now, we need to make testimony. I hope everybody's outside watching. Okay, who's outside watching them do this? Satak, I know you there in Chicago. You there listening in Chicago. What you going to move? You saw how I do that? Oh, mom's the word, right? Okay, who else is here that can see stars? I know somebody can see stars. Adela, what you see? Okay, what do you see?
Well, it's so crazy. It's been, like, cloudy here and raining the last couple of days, and just, I know it was just for me to be out here. Because I was like, I looked outside out my window, I'm like, oh, it's clear now?
It ain't been like that in days down here in Chattanooga.
Okay, good. Now I'll just tell
them. It's very clear. I see a whole bunch of stars.
Oh, you want to move them all?
I would love to do that. That'd be nice if I could.
Well, which way you want to swing them? To the left? You know the Briskins ain't gonna like that. No, just kidding. Go ahead.
We can go to the right.
Okay. Say in the name of Amun Ra, swing to the right, all creation.
In the name of Amun Ra, swing right to all creation.
Now up and over and swing back to the left. It's like a big old giant thing, huh?
Wow.
I know. Now down and under and swing back to the right. Stop. Raise it up, Della. Tell it in the name of Amun Ra 8, move up all creation.
In the name of Amun Ra, move up all creation. Don't like I'm moving.
No, it's you. Well, yeah, well, your Earth is moving because the sun is one of them stars. Now drop it down. Della, drop it down.
Drop it down. In the name of Amun Ra, drop down. Wow.
Yeah. You know, you're moving everything in creation. Why don't you try to make a circle with the whole creation? You really drive them crazy. And see, the white people, they down at NARAD and NASA, they hate you. They got a picture. You got your picture on a dartboard, and every lunch they throw darts at it, like all the rest of us. I'm serious.
Right.
Another nigga acting a fool. Niggas ain't supposed to do this. This is not what you're supposed to be doing. This is against the white. Trump, though, that's not. You know this means war, right? Okay. But you want to be on the side and want to move the universe, trust me. But make it go in a circle.
In the name of Amun Ra, all creation, go in a circle. Oh. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm just breathless right now, what I'm actually saying. This is.
I understand.
And then just to know, like I said, before I even got in contact with the Yasar, I mean, I was already actually seeing some of the planets clockwise, counterclockwise. And like I said,
they wanted you to see that. See, it won't be long before you're doing it. You know, I've been working on your package, you know. And the brother in London, are you here tonight? No, I guess he's not. But what I'm going to do is work on, see if London can take the responsibility of putting our website back up, an interactive, a real good website. That'll be a good thing for them. But, anybody else out here? Yeah, Della, y'all need to write real good testimonies about this class and about the things, the miracles you're performing. You follow me? And what the other brothers and sisters are doing, too. But, you know, you can't say it in three lines, because this is too big. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I
actually... You wasn't just moving the things you could see. You was moving the things in other dimensions, the whole creation. You know what that means? Everything. You was moving everything except Fa'ut. You was even moving Anu. You was moving everything. You a bad ass.
Well, I know one thing. I will be going ahead because, like I said, when I did my first testimony, I did it with... Tried to do it through the star movers, you know, the enemy, like I said, I always be under attack with stupid stuff, especially electrical stuff.
But blessed are those who
really
the right to say. I understand. But I'm just saying, you don't want the devil. In other words, if the devil's not attacking you, he's probably in the mirror.
Well, you know I can't stand him. We've been having all kind of stuff going on since I got up in here, so it's okay.
He can't stand himself, but
damn about him, okay?
let me tell you something. He can't stand himself. She can't stand herself.
And I'm going to add to that. You know, but you know what I say in this situation?
The creator, divine love, can't stand them.
I know.
But no, like I always, love mom and daddy, but when your creator don't hate your hate you, you effed up. Yeah, you're sick.
Like I always tell him, I'd be mad if I wasn't me too. I'd be mad if I wasn't me too. Okay, because I pop my top.
I don't want to be nothing else except I want to be me. I want to be me. I've got to be me. What else could I be? But what I am to fight for the right without question or pause, be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. I've got to be me. I just went, I blanked out for a minute, y'all. Go ahead. And it, who else sees something out there? Somebody got people talking in the background. He, you know, every time they find out you're able, they try to raise Cain, don't they? That's not funny, is it? Okay. All right. I tip my celestial hat to those of you that went out. Now, Delonte, why didn't you move something in D.C.? Delonte Jones, Jr.
England.
Hey, Rahul Bat, please tell me you can see something in England. You heard me call you, didn't you? I just called your name. I just called you. Didn't I just start talking about the brother from London? I was just calling for him. Y'all? Yeah. Hello?
Cool.
Are we the only ones?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's good to hear your vibration. You hear me? And how things going in London?
It's right. It's not too
bad. Not too bad?
Yeah.
Can you see any stars by any miraculous chance?
Every time I look out, what's going on? What's going on?
Well, you know, you must be around a lot of bright. Were you around a lot of light? That's what it is.
Yeah, sometimes you need, yeah.
You can't be around light. You can't see stars when you're around light. Where can you go if you're in a dark out? Anywhere you can go, where can you go where it's dark? They'll appear then.
2 minutes. Are you outside already?
Who, me? I don't need to be outside. All is in me.
Yeah.
But you need to be seeing them. A couple of three or so disciples just got through moving everything. We just had... One sister moving the whole creation, left and right, up and down, and she even moved it in circles. So if you go to where it's dark, I'll move the whole creation for you. Yes. See, you can't ever see them in that light. The stars are too dim now. And it's usually overcast. So you definitely got to be in the dark. If you have any light in your eyes, shining in your eyes, you're not going to see nothing. But it's imperative that you actually see this. You gotta have facts, not faith. Faith is just too weak, like Simon Peter. It'll eventually, you know, sink. We can't let it be relegated to the realm of belief. You follow me?
I'm feeling 100.
You seeing what now?
Okay.
You see?
Yeah, I'm beginning to. All right, I see that Orion star constellation.
Okay, now. Want me to move the whole constellation?
That'd be great.
I'm gonna make a mind link with you so we can do it together. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. Say move to swing to the. Tell it to swing to the left in the name of Amun-Re, the Messiah.
Swing to the left in the name of Amun-Re, the Messiah.
That big boy gonna start moving slow.
Swing to the left.
Yeah.
Amun-Re, the Messiah.
Now up and over and swing back to the right. up and over. Swing back to the left, Orion, in the name of Amun-Re. Do you see it moving, or you just need, you know, it's just something, you know, like sometimes our mind ejects things like that at first. Because if you can't, yes, just be honest, yes. Did you see it moving at all or not?
No, not this moment.
Okay, good. That's not good, but look straight up in the sky and see something straight over your head. That's how you're going to really see it. What do you see? Which star you see? You see a star right over the top of your head, straight up, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Now, we're going to move it to the right in the name of Amun-Re. You're going to be able to see that.
Okay. Let's move to the right.
Yeah, you see it, right? Now it's going to come up over and move to the left.
Move to the left.
Now, come back and move back to the right. Stop.
Move to the right.
Now move up. See, once you can see it, you can be it. Now, drop back down. You see movement now, right? Now, we're going to bring it in a circle for you. You tell me whether it's going clockwise or counterclockwise. Om Amun. Om Kulun. Om Amun. Now I'm gonna have it move. You saw that? What was that? What is that circle going? Clockwise or counterclockwise? You didn't see any movement. Okay. No, that's good. We had one brother didn't see it for months. But didn't you have a sister like the sister Della? It's just different people. It's just hard. It's hard for your mind to wrap around. Okay, instead of talking, let me just move it. Now I'm going to move it in all different kind of directions. Don't be looking for long, big, giant movements. Just watch. Om Amun. Om Kulun. Om Amun. Om Amun. I'll make it move faster too. Moon Amun-Re. Move up. Now down. Now raise back up. Now drop down. Move to the right. You're starting to see some movement? Believe what you're seeing. I mean, are you starting to see any movement, you know?
No, at this moment in time, I'm
okay, well, don't worry about it. It's going to happen now, let's do it. Okay,
yeah.
Look at the Orion star constellation again. Now, you see it's going to be the brightest star. The brightest star is going to be on the bottom right-hand side. You see that?
Yes.
And you got three across the middle of the belt. Now, just watch the star on the bottom right-hand side. But it's going to move the whole conversation. But you just watch the star on the bottom right move to the left.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. You see, you just have to see your mind is finally free. That was a big spell we were under that made us think black people can't do these things. You know what I mean? Okay. Swing back to the right.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, back to the left again. Now you can open up your eyes and look at the whole thing now, the whole constellation. All right, swing to the right in the name of Amun-Re. It's like a big slow motion thing, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, that's a sign. That's the creator talk. What color was it? White?
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of. You know, I didn't want you to say it was red, right? He's pleased with you. Okay? All right. Now swing to the left. Up and over. Swing back to the right. Now, raise up in the name of Amun-Re. Now, drop down, Orion. Now, look at that bottom left star again, because I'm going to make the whole constellation go in a circle. You tell me whether it's clockwise or counterclockwise. It's going to be looking kind of funny the way it's moving, because I'm moving the whole thing, pivoting on that one bright star on the bottom left. Follow?
Okay.
You tell me whether it's clockwise or counterclockwise. Om Amun-Re. Om Kalum. Om Amun-Re. Amun-Re. What would you say that was, counterclockwise or clockwise?
I didn't see it move quite that way.
Okay, so you do better when you focus it on the one star on the bottom left, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, but now I'm gonna move it to the left again. But then while it's moving, after you see it moving for sure, I want you to look at the whole constellation and you see it's going wherever that star's not moving by itself. Okay. All right.
Mm.
Move to the left in the name of Amun-Re. Yeah, you see that, right? Now, up and over and move back to the right. Now, up and over and move back to the left in the name of the Messiah.
Interesting. Well, you're moving the stars in London, and they're happening here in New York City.
Yeah. Oh, you see it in New York, you're saying, right?
Yeah, I see two stars. They're both moving.
Yeah, but it's no... See, what it is, the reason for that is because there's no such thing as... Everything's in the same place at the same time, vibrating on different frequencies. I thought you were in Jersey anyway. You were in New York.
I'm in Manhattan right now.
Oh, you're in Manhattan. Okay. Yeah. No, but London is the same place. It's not. It's no. There is no such thing as distance or time or you and me or anything. That's all an illusion, see?
Right.
So I move stars in Africa or China the same way I do here. It's no, you know, I'm moving the stars in risk. Anyway, now, brother, do one more thing for me, London. Look straight up at the top of the sky again. Let's go back since your third eye is beginning to wake, open up again. Can you see the one on the top of the sky again?
Yes, one right above.
Okay. Tell me which way it's moving.
Oh, yeah, that's moving.
Yeah, I know. You see it. But what it is that I have to, let me explain it to you like this. I have to calibrate your, in other words, it's a muscle. You know, the third eye is a much more powerful matrix than your two physical eyes. You know what I mean? You follow me? But it's been calcified. And then after it closes, you know, in other words, you've been, and simplify it, you've been conditioned that you're not a god and black people can't do, nobody, people can't do these things. You know what I mean? But it's not true. Yeah. Okay, now I'm going to move that star over your head in a circle. You tell me whether it's clockwise or counterclockwise. Om Amun.
Yeah.
Om Kalum.
It's moving kind of, I'm trying to think.
It's clockwise. Counterclockwise, I mean.
Yeah,
counterclockwise. Yeah, sometimes I get it mixed up, you know. But it's counterclockwise. Now I'll move it clockwise for you. Okay. Om Amun. Om Kalum. You see it? Or did you lose it again? Okay.
I lost it, but what? The reason being, something else just flew straight across.
Yeah, that's the reason. See, listen, that's the creator communicating with you. You follow me? But you don't ever want to see a red laser beam shoot across the sky. You got me? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That means he's annoyed, okay? Now, you start to learn cosmic signs, that's all. I'm going to move this star for you one more time up there, and I'm just going to let it go any kind of way random. Just tell us what you see. It should be going pretty far now, huh? Now, drop, go back. Now, raise up. Now, drop down. Tell me when you see any kind of movement. I want you to put input into it. In fact, you say which way will it, one way or the other. Will it to move to the left?
Okay.
In the name of Amun Re, move to the left. Tell it. And be sure. Don't ask it. Tell it.
Move to the left.
In the name of Amun Re.
Move to the left. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
Yeah. Now, which way you want to move it now? To the right?
Yeah. in the name of, okay.
Yeah, you see. So what it is that I put you involved with it. You understand? Now, so you can honestly say that you had part in moving a star tonight and a constellation, okay?
All right.
See, I'm going to tell you why. Because, see, I'm inside, right? So I can't see it. So we only using your mind and your eyes. We only using, you follow what I mean? So it's a symbiotic. It's, in other words, it was a joint. We did it together. Like we were one being. You got it?
Yeah, I'm with you.
But it's not that hard when you understand that. You see, we're all what? We're all one.
One.
See what I mean? So it's about, see, we have to break, the spell is thinking with individuals. You see, I can be all that I wish in all, as long as my wish is to stay in all, and fail as a what?
Individual.
As an individual, see? So it's that thinking that you, see, that's what separates you from all. And when you get separate mm-hmm. from all and you're an individual, then remember, all can, I can. All does, I do. But if you an individual, you can't. You follow me?
Would you?
That's all. It's not that hard. See, but all devils are individuals. They think from, you know, like, I got to have mine. I got to do this, and this is my, you know, me. You follow me? You know, my looks, my talent, my this, my, and I don't think y'all understand. I'm not making myself perfectly clear. This is what I mean. You don't understand me, brother. Since, listen, you got to, you know, let me make myself clear. You're going to, me. You understand? They are not a we. They are not a us. They are not all. You got it? Except that they really are. You follow me?
I'm with you.
Because you can't, if you, how are you going to take something, okay, if you take something out of all, where are you going to put it?
You can't put it anywhere. Can you?
So it's permanently, so you can pretend like you're not part of us, but you are one with us, but you just, that's a lie. You see what I mean? And you'll fall from grace. You won't be able to do, they start creating gods outside of them, you know, images. Create no image, worship no image or any likeness on the sea below and the sky. You follow what I mean? And so they try to make God a man or something, or mother of God, Mary, or, you know what I mean? So what they're trying to do is reduce God down to their level. You know what I mean, right?
Right.
You can't do that. You can't reduce all down to that. All is all. There can't be no man or woman. It's both and more and beyond your, you understand? All is all. And it's all the does. You know, like, you know, the God this and the God that. And it. All that's all. You see? So with the recognition that you one with all can, so what can you do? You can too.
I can.
What did you just do?
Well, I focused on the star, you know, and seeing the movement.
Exactly. Now, can mortals do that?
No.
Nope, that's right. No, they can't. No, they can't do that. That's beyond. In fact, they can't even conceive of it. It's beyond their imagination. They can't even conceive of that. Yeah. So that's how you know that this is you being connected to the real Creator, and those signs that you see, and those things running across, flashing across the sky. You think they're stars, but I know later on I'll tell you what they are.
Okay.
Yeah. They're not falling stars. First place, when you think you see those are actually meteorites if they're not beings. You know what I mean? They're not real stars that's mm-hmm. flashing. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll tell you. But I did tell you the truth about what the sign. That's a sign that he's pleased with you. Because they celebrate on higher planes when anybody starts stirring, Gulliver, and starts working up, waking up here and breaking the little threads and scraping off the Lilliputians. And you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. That's a, you know, the bells ringing, the pins, the kalamu, scribes, you know, they write and they rejoice and you know what I mean, right? Whenever a brother or sister starts staring and waking up right there, to return to the heavenly abode on high. It's a celebratory. It's a happy. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away, love. Oh, it was a happy day. Everybody's being calm, but y'all moving stars. And believe me, that's a serious thing. When you really think about it, when you walking or driving, stuff, it's going to hit you, and you're going to realize what you did, and you're going to be like, what? You never thought, that, it never even crossed your mind that you would be able to do that. You see? So you're doing things that's beyond the comprehension of mortal man. You follow? All right. Well, that was a good night, and I'm glad about that. Y'all doing good, and we just need testimonies from everybody. Now, we need your testimony about what you did, and I'm sorry you didn't bear witness to the other people and the brother in Jersey, in Manhattan. You know, it's good if you send a testimony and you in London that y'all both saw the same thing at the same time in different countries. That's important, right? And it'll also help people to remember the reality that there is no here and there, now and then, or you and me. The only really thing that's out here is Fau.
Right. Will do.
Right. Yes, I love you. So that's important, those testimonies. Why are they so important? Brother, what's your name again in London?
Kebab, Kebab.
Say it again. Spell it.
Kebab.
Kebab?
Yeah, Kebab. Yeah.
Okay, G-A-B-A-B?
B. Yeah.
Okay, Kebab. Okay.
Kebab. Okay.
G-A-B what? E? G.
No, G-A-B-A-B.
Okay, Kebab. All right. Is that anything like Geb or Earth? Or what does it mean?
That's,
or is that just...
Geb. That's Geb.
Huh?
That's Geb.
Okay, Geb, like Earth. Okay. All right, but anyway, the thing is this. Why are these testimonies so important? Are they for me, my benefit? Well, no, because I already know. I'm there too, right?
No, it's brothers.
Yes, to wake up the other brothers and sisters.
Right.
Because, see, as the Messiah, I can move the whole create. I can walk through walls, make myself invisible, do all kinds. But I'm saying they expect that. That's still, they don't know how that's, and so what, right? But when they start seeing the brothers and sisters with me performing miracles and approaching immortality and doing, do you see what I mean? That's what's exciting. You follow me?
Right.
Don't nobody care what Jesus do. That's him, right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? But what have they done for me lately? I mean, you got to show me where that they want to know how is that going to benefit them, you see?
Mm.
Now you get it? And you got to understand that the faster we wake up to 144,000, the sooner I can take y'all out of here. You got it?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So people don't understand why. I don't care about no brothers and sisters I never met in London or people. I don't care about the ones in the U.S. or in Manhattan. And all. It's all the same place. Got it? And until we get that number, ain't nobody moving.
Uh-huh.
You see what I mean? It's all either all the way right or it's not right at all. Got it?
Yep.
So, oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I want to be in that number now. All right. Who's got that question there? And I hope that we invoke some questions in you all.
I have a question.
And I'll do my best. Speak up as loud as you can.
Yes, I asked you this question when it was just a conversation you and I were having together. But
okay.
Maybe
oh, yeah, that reminds me, Ankh Sent Amun, you can tell them about the vision that you have with me, you know, what happened there, too. And other people will start chiming in, too. Okay, Goddess? Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here, and I'm waiting for you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just figured some other people might have the same question.
Yeah.
Want to re-ask it. My question was, why is it that, you know, I've done things like on accident, like I've moved seats or vanities?
Yeah, or the whole wall, side to side. Yeah.
Walls, yeah.
It's because the deity inside of you. It's because the deity inside of you is starting. In other words, what we've been doing by being physical or carnal, it's just like driving, being in your car, your personal car, but you're a passenger in your car, and somebody else is driving, and you don't like the turns they make it. And how did I get here? What is this? What's happening here? It's because when you start turning yourself inside out in your perspective of who and what you are, I don't mean by reaching your hand down your throat. I mean, you know, a lot of people still get a physical picture, you know, turn myself inside out. You mean stick my hand in my butt up, in my mouth? No, no. In your the way you look at things, because the things you look at will never change until you change the way that you look at things. So when you start looking at it, come on up here, from the top down instead of the bottom up, God is moving into the driver's seat, and you're putting the body back in the back. You got it? And God has his own personality or her own. It has its own personality and thoughts, and it's doing things without your permission sometimes. It's done things without your permission a lot of times, like when you almost had that accident and you don't, and you, or you almost got shot, or you thought you, and you had to touch your arm and feel yourself because you knew you was gone. It was the Creator that saved you. Or you were driving somewhere and you were late and it was a long way away or something, and you knew you couldn't make it in time, but you just let go and let the Creator. Next thing you knew, you were pulling up in the parking lot, and you're like, damn, I'm here already. I can't believe that. Or you see the you are now entering this city or something. You know, you're like, what? You didn't think it was enough time to pass by to get you there. That quantum leap was the Creator. You got it?
Got it.
You didn't have, y'all didn't, all of you, like you say, look, I've done that. You know, like I said, I came in one day from Moving Stars, and I was laying across the bed talking to somebody. I think it was after class. Television was on, and I looked at the wall, and the whole wall started moving to the left and to the right, you know, like on a Videodrome. I was like, no. That scared me because I've never been inside the thing that was moving before. You hear me?
Mm-hmm.
That's different than moving something, moving the sky. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Yeah. My question was that why can't?
Go ahead.
My question was then why can't I do something like that at will? Like when I really wanted to do it. Like
I follow you. Okay. Because you know why, and you just created a reality right there. Because see, what does God know? What does God know, son?
What I know.
God only knows what you know. You follow me? So if you have doubts, Simon Peter, if you know you can walk on the water, you can. But the second you have doubts, then you can't. You see what you just said? You said, "Why can't I?" You never use that in your vocabulary, like can't. You see? Because Har Matthews will hear you. You hear me?
Yeah.
And when you have negative affirmations to yourself, you have nowhere to run. There's no, you know what I mean? You follow me? So you have to, like Malachi say, mind your mind for the jewels of your soul. Be careful what you say, because you got to remember you're listening. And when you say can't, what does that mean? Why can't I? That's why. You just see, words have substance. Like, who is God? Well, who is the creative force of will? So the question is answered at the point of the question. Who is God? You know, what I mean by words have substance it's like I said before, you know, I can take you someplace and ask you, you know, you go inside and there's two old ladies there waiting. Y'all got some business to take care of. It should take you 5 minutes, but you come out in 90 seconds. What's the matter with you? I said, did they say anything wrong? They, you know, hey, baby, we're so glad to see you. That. You heard what they said, but you felt what they meant. It was sweet words coming from hot mountains. You didn't like the vibrations. You hear me? In other words, people can say the right words, say the right things to you, but people in this morass, phantasmagoria, always say one thing while they're thinking another. But for those of you that are beginning to wake up, you can feel not only can you hear what they say, but you can feel what they really mean.
Please enter your conference dial-in number followed by the pound key.
Yeah. Remember that thoughts have substance, and I'll explain it to you again clear so you can remember how to repeat it. You're sitting in your living room, and it's cool and comfortable, 72 degrees. Let's make it 70. And you're talking to your friend or your lady or whatever, and she get up to go to the kitchen to make something to eat, a snack for y'all. And then while she's in there, you start thinking, and your mind just fall back on this person that did you really wrong, some dirty, low-down skunk, some really cold-blooded stuff, right? Traumatized, scarred, some real ugly thing to you. And the more you try not to think about it, you know how the mind is, right? It keeps going back to it. And as you know, the more you think about it, you try not to think about it, you start getting hotter and hotter, you know what I mean? You get madder and madder, right? Until you find yourself breathing a little bit more, your nostrils flat, you're humping your back, perspiration on the tip of your nose and your armpits, and then when she come back in, she, what's the matter with you, baby? I was just thinking about this goddamn nigga, that, you know. I mean, you follow what I mean? So now your thoughts, because anything you can conceptualize, you can visualize, materialize, actualize, and thereby realize, because first is the thought that creates the energy that shapes the form of the matter, right? So what happens is you took thought and converted it into energy, and the energy was manifested in the form of heat. That's why your body temperature rose and you were sweating and whatever. You follow? I mean, you can actually think about things that people did and you get literally hot. Look at her now. She hot. She hot in hell. 38 hot. She mad. She hot. See? Now, And that's just to be hot, and a little perspiration on the tip of her nose and breathing hard, and she'd be like eyes bucking, you know, little veins in the floor, you know, and see, there it is. Stuff getting ready to jump off. You got what I'm talking about? But it's all from a thought. What happened to you? We was having fun. Nothing, nigga. I just started thinking about your ass. That's what it is. I started thinking and remembered, yeah, such and such. You remember that, you know, such. Oh, so you just up here got hot like that off of some. That's right.
Rahubat, kept him alive.
Hey, Rahubat, son, I'm glad you listened to me. We in heaven now, huh, son? And we know we're on the way, huh?
Yep, that's right.
I'm so glad you feel better, son. I don't know what to do. Bless you, and I'm glad you believed in me. Okay, you hear me, Har? He knew how to get that big soldier straight. All right, you know what, for combat. Anyway,
yeah.
You got to, you see, and those of you that know, y'all know, you know, I don't just move universes, I heal and I do things like that. Anyway, you know that thought and energy are interchangeable now, right? You follow me? Everybody knows that. You can convert thought into energy, you know, and then matter and energy are interchangeable as well, because you can take a cigarette, that's matter, and then when you light it, the heat and light are two forms of what?
Energy.
That's
energy.
What they are, two forms, the light and heat of the same. That's energy. So you convert the matter into energy. So if matter and energy are interchangeable and thought and energy are interchangeable, mathematically you're saying that thought and matter are what?
One.
Interchangeable. That's how you say to a thing be, and it is. Kun fire kun. Is everybody with me right there?
Sure.
Did you hear me goodbye?
Dylan.
I love you. Della, did you hear me?
What?
Yes.
Okay, you yeah. I don't mean hear me. Did y'all overstand me? Did that make sense to you? If not, please tell me.
I understand.
Yeah. Della, did that make sense to you?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't want nobody following because it didn't? Okay.
It did.
You sure? No, you don't have to. I mean, that's my job. I mean, you don't have to settle. I mean, if it's not clear, I'll make it clear.
Okay, you can further explain it.
Okay, all right. All right, see, thoughts send, in other words, from Fout, Kaloum, Fout doesn't vibrate, but sets things into vibratory motion, right? They go out in the form of waves, just like if you stand over a clear pond that's still, and you can see the bottom clear, it's clear like a mirror, and you drop a stone in it. And it starts, the impact starts having these waves vibrate away from the, radiate away from the center of impact, and they move faster, then they move slower, and they get bigger and bigger as they move away. So it get, those are like vibrations. You know, a thought has impact like that rock on the water. And these vibrations, and sensitive people can feel that. Some of y'all have had your children, and they do wrong. And you chastise your children or spank them or something other than, and he or she sit over there on the couch. You're looking at TV talking, you turn around and they looking at you. They got some kind of look in their eyes. And, you know, and you can feel, you say, all right, little boy, little girl. You know what I mean? You better put your mind on something else. You know what I mean? And they be like, how you know what I'm thinking? You know what I mean? Shit. I can feel it. That's why I turn around and look. No, I'm serious. You know what I mean?
No, I'm laughing.
They be looking at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they be looking at you like you small, like they want to touch you up or something. Like, yeah. They be looking like, nigga, bitch, who the fuck are you beating or whatever, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. When I get big, I'm going to, I ain't going to forget. I'm going to remember when I get big, you know, but, you know, you can feel them thoughts. It's just a way sometimes people can look at you a certain kind of way, or it's the way that they... You can feel vibrations. You know, you can have one of your best friends, your partner, you know, say, hey, what's going on, my nigga? This, that, the other. And y'all be laughing, hooting up like that. And then a white boy you've been working with for 12 years walk up and say, because he heard him said, what's going on, my nigga? You'd be like, uh-uh. That didn't even feel right. That's what I'm talking about. Because you know he meant, what's happening, my nigger. You felt that. You know what I'm talking about? It had a different sound, a different vibration to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thoughts have substance. In other words, you can actually touch, feel thoughts. It's just like you talking to your child on the phone, and they 1,000 miles away, maybe at school or something, and you've been doing your best to get them through this, all that, but they say something real disrespectful to you and unappreciative and disrespectful to you. Now, you know that cow, that thing, that muscle in your heart, it beats blood, that's your heart. Everybody usually think of that as the thing that pumps the blood, right?
Right.
But when your child says something disrespectful to you on the phone and it breaks your heart, what are you talking about?
The ass.
Not the muscle. The ab, exactly. Not the cow, but the ab. Your spirit, it hurts your inner heart. You have an inner vision,
right,
inner feeling.
Right.
It ain't actually breaking your heart and the muscle because you would drop dead of a stroke. No, but it's break. But the thing is, it really hurts. You said you broke my heart. That hurt me. You could feel it, right?
Yeah,
so,
right.
Thoughts, see? That thought that your child communicated to you, it hurt you. It cut like a knife, didn't it?
Right.
And a lot of times people don't realize, but that pain is deeper than physical pain.
Right.
You know, my mother sometimes, you know, if I ever, which was rare, if I did anything she disapproved of like that, you know, she could talk to me. She'd say, oh, Larry, Mama's so disappointed. I thought you were such a good little boy. I can't believe. And I'd be like, I wish he'd just take something and hit me so we get it. You know what I'm talking about? Really, I can't take this shit. You understand me? But she's going to sit there and keep looking at me with them big eyes and like she's watering up and like, oh, I'm so disappointed. I can't believe. Now, if that was your brother, I could say, but now you know. That's not you. I can't. Oh, I'm disappointed in you. You know, I'm like, please, please, please. I want to talk like James Brown. Get my cape. Please, please. Mother, please. I'd rather do it myself. Please. You know, you know, just stop. You know, I'm just. Oh, you remember that, huh? You telling your age. But, you know, that's what it is. You follow? And everybody knows that you can convert matter into energy. You know, because petrol is actually matter, isn't it? It's a liquid substance, it's matter, isn't it? Petroline, gasoline?
Right. That's true. Yeah.
If it's in a can, it's just there. It's inanimate, right? But if you put it in the right conditions inside of a car and an engine, then you have a magneto to generate a spark, then it'll start this combustion and start pushing these pistons up and down, and you can actually... It'll propel a vehicle through the atmosphere. You can drive a car. It'll pull thousands of pounds up and down the street. Right?
Right.
And it's just a liquid in a can. You can even have cars that run even better and more efficient than that off H2O. You all know that, right? But they won't let people, they buy the patents up or either kill the person.
That's
they got
true.
Too much invested in refineries and gas stations and oil. You know what I mean? It's too much. Too many trillions. So water, just water, H2O, is powerful. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And you can convert that into energy.
Right.
To power a car. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or anything else. Yeah. And so you already know that thoughts can be converted into energy, the kind of energy that can make you, because your child can say something to you on the phone and make you hot as fish grease too, right?
Yep.
You know how hot fish grease is? These sisters will tell you, you don't want to put your foot in the pudding. That little rascal made me hot as fish grease. Yeah. 38 hot. You hot then. You hot. They said some crazy talking to you crazy. You know what I'm talking about? You ain't never did nothing for me. I don't need you. So you all that old type of stuff that they got with that nigga, that woman is smelling their ass. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you ain't never, you know, be like, yeah, I just said. Or sitting up at the kitchen table eating and you working your ass off. They keep talking about, every time I go over to little Joey or Susie's house, you know, they mom and daddy, they so nice, and they can do all of it. You know, you get tired, you be like, let me tell you something. Now, as long as you sitting up under my roof with your legs swinging and while you eating and I'm out there working you up under this roof, I don't need to hear about Jeffrey or Susan's mom and daddy no more. You know, you can take your little black ass over there and live with them. You know what I'm saying? Seriously. But you all mad about it, and I'm just saying, you know what I mean? That's enough of that. Put a cork, a sock in it, nigga. You understand? And the whole devil's whole world is like that. It's like old Saint Nick, which is the devil, and Santa, right? That's Satan rearranged in the letters, both of them with a red suit. But you better watch out and all that threat. But the thing is that they got black people that's participating in their own, disrespect. Because they working, these mothers and fathers working their ass off 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and then they sneak and buy presents and trees and all that while the child is asleep. And then when they get up and discover the present, they tell them, Santa Claus, see what Santa Claus got for you? And so, you know, it's like buying a white doll for a little girl. She'll grow up and think it's all right to be with a man that look like that, you know what I mean? To make babies that look like that. You know what I mean? You give a Nubian child a Nubian doll. You know what I'm saying? Why you got to always give your boy little white soldiers? Anyway, so they grow up, you ain't ever did nothing for me, but in the back of their mind, they don't remember that just because you told them that it was the Tooth Fairy and it was the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and all this, you know what I mean? And God, you know, this white thing they see on the money, you know, this bald white man with the beard and the bird wings and all. But you've been the one, they got you programming your own children to believe and worship the image of the beast. And then when they grow up and say, you know, you ain't never did nothing for me and all this, you know, you be hurt because, you know, in your mind you're like, nigga, I'm the only one that did, so I did everything for you. I did everything for you, it was me. But you forget that's not what you were communicating to a child when their mind was pliant and they were open and receptive. You programmed them to worship white people for everything you did good.
Yep.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And you weren't even conscious of it. You just thought it was a game. It's not. The devil is serious. This stuff is deep. So when I try to get brothers and sisters to perform miracles or even witness them or see them, you can understand that this thing is, you know, because most people are thinking, I'm not programmed, I'm not under a spell, but they are, and I am, and we are. It's just at different degrees. How are you going to live down here on NASA, solid, isolated, and time-bound in a physical body and not be under the spell? That's BS. And the very minute you tell yourself you're not under the spell, you really under it. There's no more defense against an invisible enemy because you convince yourself, you know, that you're not under no spell. But it's true. I'm going to have to come to a lot of you all at night and you sleep in a, it'll be like you in a like floating on your back in a pool. It's not water, but it's something else. And I'll stand on the side with a big thing look like a hula hoop. It'll have lights flashing around it, and I'll pass it over your feet like the magician do when they had that woman floating in there. There's no string, see? And as I bring it all the way up to your head, you feel a lot of things running out the top of your head. I've done it before. Malachi did that to me. I've done it to people before. And then all this stuff run out your head, you know, all these different characters and thoughts run out your head. You can feel it, you know. Then you bring it back down, and I bring it back up again and run. But what it is that's all those horror movies you saw, all those things, time you've been traumatized by people on Earth, all that negative stuff you've experienced and saw on TV. It's just like when you were young and you saw Daffy Duck and Porky Pig, and they blew each other's head off with a shotgun or chop it off with a hatchet. You know, but when you grow up, it gets more sophisticated, right? And you start thinking about the headless horseman and all, you know, you start, but it's not a cartoon anymore, but the same type of energy or impression is there. You follow what I mean? So
yeah,
all that stuff is inside
yeah.
of you. I got to get that. I got to purify. I got to help. I got to get that out of you all. You follow me? Like this thought that you're not God, but God is somebody else up in the sky or out there with shoes on, black or white, or some being outside of you. There is no outside. I am an all and what?
All is in me.
Well, if all is in you, there's no out there. I don't have to go outside to move nothing in London or Manhattan. I don't have to do that because all of you all and the structure, see, I see that. All of you all are in me, and I know that I'm in you because we're all what?
One.
So when you raise up to the reality that you be cognizant and you conscious of the fact that it's only the oneness, right? Then if there's only one mind, then that means I can make mind links with anybody and put myself in the moon. Okay, I'm gonna leave y'all with this thought, and this is something that I like to teach people through personal experience so they'll know it's real. All of y'all remember sitting down and reading a book, for example, in the summertime, and this fly started flying around. You tried to ignore it. It was getting closer and closer, landing on the page and doing all this, until you got tired and you made up your mind you're going to get up and get a fly swatter or some Raid. And as soon as you had that thought without even moving, what did the fly do? He disappeared.
Moved away.
Right. But then when you start reading and take your mind off it, what does he do then?
Come back.
Come back
and buzzing right there again. And then when you get a, you see, because in other words, the fly is reading your what?
Mind.
Mine.
Mine.
That's when I know when you get ready to bust that ass. You see that fly? That fly can feel that. That's how you know thoughts back reflected on the, that's how you know thoughts have substance, right? That fly can feel them thoughts. It's just like people know who to play with and who not to play with. They can just meet a person and look at them, and they know. And I see she ain't for no bullshit. You know, they can talk crazy to some sisters, or some sisters talk crazy to some men, or some men talk, but, you know, people know who to play with. And they ain't got to be Mighty Joe Young or big or nothing, but you can see that's a fireball. You know, that's right there. So that's hell waiting to happen right there. They look at you like, say it. They go, what? You mean, no, not you. Right?
Yep.
They just know who to play with and who not to play with. They know who not to mess with. Because they know who will peel that onion for real. Tie fire to that ass. They know. Because they can feel the thoughts, the vibrations. You got it? Just like they see a mark, a pimp see a weak-looking sister, you know, whether it's because she's been traumatized in her life or she's a little, you know, tense, lightly retarded or whatever. Sisters know a weak-ass man, you know, one that she could, where he's working in the foundry all week long and she only see him once a week. She got a real man, but she go to see him every Friday to pick up his check, and he signed it over, and she tell him, I'll see you again next Friday, and he'd be grinning his ass off, eating beans and begging people to give him a ride to work. Now, you might think, I mean, but see, no, that pimp ain't heavy and that sister ain't no super genius, but they got an eye for weak people. You understand me? Like a wolf or something that looking at a flock of sheep, they're looking for one that's a little old or a little sick or got a little limp or too young or something that's straggling, like whatever, you know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
They want to see one cough a little bit, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. And they pick, and that's what they're waiting for. They're looking for the easiest, that's what it is. And that's what a pimp or one of them type of, you know, succubus bride, that's what it is. They become masters at you know, finding somebody wounded, if it's emotionally or whatever like that, you know what I mean? I know you want to say that's a cold, but they devils or something like that, but, well, okay, well, that's what they are. Predators. But I love you all. Kebab, are you still here?
Well,
I guess, okay. I know sometimes, son, you probably be thinking, what is he talking about, right?
No, I'm with you. I've been around that.
See, y'all, especially y'all, but you figure out sometime I have just a fireside chat. It's not much of a class, but I say things, I just let things flow through me, and it's what it is. Let me tell you, let the angels tell you, Leonesia, what the spirit has to say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, the faithful and true, the Amen. The beginning of the creation of God. I was telling them what came to me, Kebab, as I was hoping as a light in London that you might make it a personal project because they got rid of both our websites, you know, our herbal healing website and our All Eyes on Eden website, to see can't you start getting the brothers and sisters together to put together a proper website. I'm going to use the words that y'all, you know, interactive, something that's befitting the 144,000, you know, like a serious website for us. And that'll be a powerful,
okay, right.
That's a powerful thing. I love you, but I already felt it, you know. Hey.
Right.
I did. And I'm working on your package, too. It's something that's, it's out of this world. How about that?
Yeah.
Yes, for real. I'm serious. I mean, verbatim, literally. Anyway, actually. But I love you all, and I love you in a real way. And it's not odd.
Well,
I mean, it's easy for me to love you because I know that you mean. Go ahead.
Yeah, love you too.
I love you more. Hey, Tom, where you at? Were you in the island still?
It's Kim.
Who is it?
Kim.
Okay, Kim. Yeah, you sounded like it. How things in Floridia? How things in Florida, son?
It's pretty good. Weather is pretty nice, you know.
Yeah, I like your vibration. I like how you sound right now. We happy, huh, son?
Yeah.
I know we are. You see what I mean? That's between me and you, but I love you, yeah? All right.
Love you, too.
See, everybody knows me in the way they know me. I'm not the same being. I'm not the same guy to nobody. I'm not the same Messiah to no. Every brother and sister know me the way they know me. You follow me? And they have their own proof in their own way. They know in their own way. Yeah. Now, Ankh Sent Amun, can you tell these people what kind of vision you had the other night? Would you share that with us?
Can you hear me?
No, you got to speak a lot louder, Farasha. No, you're too way back there.
I can barely hear you.
I mean at all, like an ant. Please put your mouth on the phone and talk loud. It's important. Farasha? Hello.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, if you just talk up louder. Talk like we across the street.
Okay.
You're going back down.
When I saw you in your perfected body.
Yes.
Okay. I had gone to sleep that night, and I had read a passage in one of the books that had come in my package. And I always, before I go to sleep, I always concentrate on doing an out-of-body, and I say to myself, I'm going to have an out-of-body experience.
Right.
That's my intent. That's what I want to do.
Yes.
But this particular night, I gone to sleep. And when I gone to sleep, it just seemed so real, but I saw a moon, and he was in his perfected body. And I was like, I was turning around to see where I was, and there he was there standing. And I looked at him, I said, Amun, is that you? And not saying, you know, in words, but telepathically, because they're like no words. You're just communicating mind to mind.
Right.
And so everybody knows that's met him. He just smiles.
That's right.
He sent me a smile. So, I just continued to talk and ask questions, but the fact that he didn't look anything like he looked the last time I saw him, he was just perfected, if you know what I mean by that. But
well, I hope you, I hope you don't mean that means I was I'm messed up or nothing. But I know what you mean.
No,
I know. But Khadija, a lot of people see me sometimes. She saw me like standing in the doorway of the bedroom, and I was almost translucent, but my hair, you know, my hair is long, and you know, like it'll blow in the wind like that anyway, but I'm saying it was blowing like in the wind, and you could kind of see through me, and I had a glow, a radiant, you know, like, in other words, a spiritual being. But what it is that I'm going to start, yeah, that's what it is. I'm going to start coming like light, but I'm going to start coming to you all like I used to come to people a lot and take them out their body and take them to different places, different planets, and, you know, different places and things. Take them to see their grandmother
and
dad, whatever. I will. I've come and got you before, you know. But I'll do it again. I'll come and pull some of y'all out your body, all of that. Huh?
The aura was very bright.
Yes, right.
Your aura was...
Yeah. Yeah, that's the real me. But anyway, but my job is to get to the real you all. And you got to know this, that when you making pancakes or whatever, that's the illusory you, the physical you. But when y'all move them stars, that's my buddy right there. That's my buddy. Who your buddy? Who's your friend? That's right. You know that, don't you, son? In your way, you know, everybody know in their own way who your buddy is. All right. I love you all. And you know we need support, donations, and to get these packages. It's a serious thing. And, you know, I can't do this by myself. Malachi couldn't build Tamaray by himself. Even if he knew what to do, he don't have enough hands and feet. I love you all and bless you all that are helping in a serious way and taking this mission serious. And never forget that the most important thing that the Creator demands of you is that you perfect your being, number one. One love, the real Messiah, Abu Ray. Peace. Give me those testimonies, especially that interaction between Manhattan and London. And Taheem, you on the phone, write a testimony again about how I moved the stars and different things and made that wind come for you when you were in Egypt. All right. Love y'all.
We are one. We are love. We are family. Love to all the family. Toha Yasar, this is the Nukis, a.k.a. Zakia. Wadu, I love you.